love. Yes, begging door to door. But finds the silence like no one lives there anymore.
Coming live from the NBA lottery with the number one pick is the Side Quest, episode 409. Representing the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's Mike Bachman.
Oh, hey.
Representing the Chicago wasn't in it, but whatever, Bulls, it's Steven Strum.
Hello.
Representing the Detroit Pistons, Deli Demovsky. Hi, how's it going? And representing the number one overall pick, Mike Williams from the New Orleans Hornets.
Yo.
How's it going?
Sports.
Sports.
How about that local sports team?
I was actually watching. That's one of the reasons I was late. I was watching the NBA lottery. So.
How okay. you doing, Dally?
I'm doing good. I'm prepping. I think it's going to be a fun show because Mike and I are prepping for
E3. Yes, we are.
In our own special little ways. So
all of the E's. One of the threes.
One of the threes. So it's been, for us, it's been a lot of fun organizing things over the last few days. And it's interesting, Mike Williams, I don't know how it's been for you, but we've already had a few meetings, appointments scheduled, and then all of a sudden today it was like an influx of last-minute appointments, like people contacting us from 2K and Bethesda and Activision and Capcom, like out of the blue for...
You know, occasional some interviews, but mostly demos. A lot of demos.
Yeah, a lot of demos. Actually, you know what? Let's just ask the question. Let's get the elephant out of the room, because I've been saying that every episode, the elephant out of the room. Mike, what are you interested in seeing at E3, since you're going to be out there?
This year? Probably Assassin's Creed 3. I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan, so... I mean, they already showed the... demo at PAX, but I want to see a little bit more of it. I want to actually play it. And Assassin's Creed Vita, finally.
Yes.
Thank God.
And we'll get
did you say Vita?
We'll get into that in a second.
I did. I know it's Vita. I call it Vita.
I like that though. I like Vita a little bit better. What about you, Mr. Bachman? What are you most interested in or looking forward to for E3? This is your first E3, so.
It is my first E3, so I'm kind of a little overwhelmed. But I'm pretty excited to see Borderlands 2 because I missed it.
At PAX? The eight-hour wait at PAX?
Right, exactly. And I realize it's not super long before it's out, but you know, I've been looking forward to it for a while. So that and hearing what they're going to do with the beta to make it not suck. So
cool.
It doesn't suck. Stop it. It kind of does, though. It doesn't, though, is the thing that you're wrong about.
The hardware is great. The hardware is
right,
great.
Exactly. It's got some really good games on it, too. I've been playing Mutant Blobs Attack, like, all weekend, or all of last weekend. But you that's about all it'll last you is a weekend. And then you're like, oh, wait.
I'm still playing it. I'm playing it as we speak, maybe.
Maybe, but you don't want to
believe that. I don't want to admit that I'm playing a game during the podcast, even though we always know, everyone knows that we play games during this podcast.
that's totally normal and totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, I'm Stephen. Well, since you're not going to E3, we'll get to you last. But I'm actually most excited to see Dishonored at E3. There's something about whatever Bethesda does every year that they just sucker me in. And even though last year we saw Skyrim, the behind closed doors demo of Skyrim, seeing Prey 2 was just absolutely mind blowing. So this year we get to see Elder Scrolls Online and Dishonored, and I cannot wait for Dishonored, which is we've seen so little about it except for like a trailer here and there. But it launches this year, which is fantastic. So
it's also not a Bethesda game, technically speaking.
Yeah, exactly. That's my BioShock of the Year award goes to Dishonored. So I'm probably most excited for that and the Wii U, just because new hardware always excites me every year whenever there's a new announcement. So just to kind of see what developers are thinking and publishers have to work with. So yeah, I'm kind of excited for those things. And now, Steven, what are you excited about?
The Last of Us.
Cool.
They have actually not shown much of The Last of Us so far. They have not shown any beyond the original teaser trailer for the game. They have not shown anything with the infected, how the infected work, or how the characters deal with them, or how much they're in the game. So if they could show some of that during E3, I'd be very excited to see that, because Naughty Dog always does great work, and The Last of Us looks like a really interesting departure for them.
Get to sending me your list of two games or three games that you're most excited about. It'll be The Last of Us and something else, right?
Probably, yeah. Dishonored is probably on that list of most anticipated games to see as well. But you already talked that up, and yeah. So there you go.
Cool. And Mike Bachman, you also owe me your list of one or two games, but I can just copy it from this podcast. So that always works.
Yeah.
Like I said, a smashing show. It's the last show for us before E3. Before E3 proper, so I'm excited to get this show on the road. Let's start a little bit with what we've been playing. How about you, Steven? You've got a nice long list of games there, so we'll start with Mike Williams. Mike, what have you been what have you been playing recently?
Actually, I've been red boxing it up. So I did Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Which I actually kind of liked. I was vaguely surprised because I'm usually not big into the military style shooters. But it played oddly enough almost like a Gears of War.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then Max Payne 3, which was fun, but then it got repetitive for me. So I just kind of I had to throw that one by the wayside. And then I was bored. And I downloaded WoW again. I was just like, I wonder how this has changed. And now I'm hooked, but I have yet to jump in and pay for it again. So
the last time you played WoW, it was still a turn-based strategy game.
Yeah, no, it was pretty weird because I bought Cataclysm, but I never like installed it and played it. So things have changed again, as they do.
I going back to Ghost Recon, I picked that up last week or so. I think I told the folks on the previous podcast the story of how my wife actually wanted to beat up her friends at work because they were all playing Ghost, or they were all excited about Ghost Recon. And so I picked it up and started playing it, and man, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a good analogy you made by calling it kind of Gears of War-y, you know, a war-based shooter, you know, that type of thing. But the little design touches I really like, some of the futurism stuff, it's pretty neat. There's a lot of style in the game, and I'm digging it too. I think it, you know, it plays really well.
It really does, and I enjoy the you know, being able to pick a bunch of targets with my squad and then execute.
Sure.
I know Steven just recently said he hates Conviction, but I enjoyed the execute future.
Yeah, Splinter Cell Conviction. It is doing. I've almost been. It's doing absolutely nothing for me. Holy crap! I don't think it works on any level, but we'll get to that in a bit.
See, I don't think it's a Splinter Cell game, but I thought it was a good game. Kind of like Castlevania Lords of Shadow isn't a Castlevania game, but I thought it was a decent game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really like Castlevania Lords of Shadow. So
Well, Steven.
Maybe I can. I was trying to extend all the branch, Dubovsky. I was trying to say maybe I can see where you're coming from because I think it's such a great. No. But no, wouldn't let me.
Just play that.
You want to perpetuate the hate.
I get to play that, but we'll actually get into some Castlevania stuff later on. But cool. Anybody else played Max Payne? Anybody?
Nope.
I think someone on the show last week was playing it, but I'm so tentative to get into a Rockstar game because I've never gotten too far into a Rockstar game before. I just kind of get bored of the repetition and give up, you know. I think Red Dead was the only one that actually held my, held me for a longer period of time. But
Dahlia, what is that?
That was my Sports Center update, guys. Just letting you know, the Red Sox have scored in the bottom of the seventh and are now leading my Tigers 5-4.
I don't care. Wait,
so your sports update plays porn music?
Yeah. Anyway, Dahlia, I'm really happy to hear you say that about Rockstar, because I'm the exact same way with Rockstar. I have never finished a Rockstar game except for Red Dead Redemption.
You know, it's funny because we got a couple review copies of Red Dead, and this had a time where Rockstar just didn't seem to be giving away any review copies to anybody, and somehow we scored a couple. They sent us all this crap, so we scored a couple copies, and Mike Wehner was reviewing it for us. He couldn't make it 10 out. He couldn't make it, you know, like more than 5 or 6 hours in the game before giving up and giving it a poor score. Because he just couldn't. Yeah, he pulled an asshole move. But he just felt, you know, it storyline is engaging, but Rockstar games tend to get repetitive sometimes, or they tend to really kind of force you to learn their mechanics, like the horse race, you know, the horse riding and, you know, gunslinging, that kind of stuff.
I think that most Rockstar games run on for about 10 hours too long.
Yeah.
There's like a 10-hour chunk in the middle of every Rockstar game that could just not be there, and I would not even notice.
They should all end right before Mexico.
No, you want to get past Mexico, because that's when it gets great. That's when it gets moving.
So I've been playing, since the last time we talked, we have obviously had a nice long weekend here in the U.S., and my goal was just to, you know, knock out at least 2 or 3 of my games in my backlog. In the meantime, I didn't even do that because I was sucked into Diablo. Almost. It's funny because every night I sit on my laptop like around 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock. This is starting like Friday or Saturday. I thought, I'm definitely going to be playing some Diablo tonight. Maybe I'll play for an hour, half hour, just to, you know, grind a little bit, and then I'll hop on the Ghost Recon or you know, Halo Reach, just love it completed. So I would get on Diablo, and then I'd look over at the clock, and it was like 4:30. And then I looked down at my hand, and I realized I've been developing Diablo Wrist, which is just that playing Diablo on a Mac without a mouse is a little more labor intensive than I thought it was going to be, because my
wrist. You are not playing that with a trackpad.
I am playing with a trackpad.
That's
wrong.
Yeah, it has messed
up. What is wrong with you?
Messed up my arm in major ways, to the point where my I had to go stranger hand and switch to my left hand.
Oh, you had to give it to the stranger. Okay.
Yeah. So look, you know, it's like, obviously the same can be said for like masturbation, but it felt like I was watching somebody else through a YouTube video playing Diablo when I was playing with left-handed. So
you realize that's the equivalent of
Mike?
You realize that's the equivalent of like typing with your feet, right?
I'm
like it's not meant for that at all.
I have the feet of an orangutan. I can do things with my toes that are humanly not possible. So I can type with my feet.
I vaguely get the Diablo thing. I missed the original Diablo fanfare. But my girlfriend's a big Diablo fan, so she was playing, and I'm just watching like click, 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 click. I'm like, you don't move the character around? She's like, no, you just click.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this really isn't all that far from social games, is it?
Move the character around.
I think Farmville evolved out of Diablo. In fact, I'm pretty sure Castleville also did.
There's probably a argument to be made that Farmville probably did come out of Diablo, but that's not the point. But not because of the clicking.
Yeah.
Because of,
but I did a lot of grinding over the weekend, and I get sucked in for like 4 or 5 hour spats, and I didn't. I found out that I wasn't. Maybe it wasn't quite playing it right. I was doing a lot of exploring, and I'd like to clear out the map and get, you know, get rid of all the fog of war and all that kind of stuff before I'd actually venture into some of the catacombs and the pits and whatever was next on my mission. By now, I've probably put about 12 or 14 hours in the game. I should have gotten through at least 3 chapters, but I'm probably not even halfway through act 1 of the game, just because it takes me so long to, I'm overly anal when it comes to, you know, finding everything in the game. So
a lot of people play it that way though.
But I love it. It's so, And I was never a Diablo guy. I never played Diablo before, but I played a lot of the other Blizzard games, Warcraft, Starcraft, those kinds. And this definitely brings me back to the feeling of those games where it's just kind of this really cool classic Blizzard aesthetic, Blizzard style of like strategy RPGs and that kind of stuff. So, it's just fun. It's addicting as all get out. It's definitely not the, as I said last time, it's not the prettiest game. I have some issues. It's grown on me a lot more, maybe because I realize that I'm just trying to find, just trying to kill zombies, before they eat my face in Miami. But, I'm just keep clicking and clicking and clicking, and eventually you'll get something. Although, again, because I'm playing with the trackpad, I'll click on a zombie and my character will start moving. And I'm still not used to this, but the screen kind of pans with him. And I'll have been clicking on the zombie and my guy will just walk right past him to wherever I was clicking behind the zombie. So I still have to get that quite figured out.
There is no possible way that you're going to be able to do that. Like, once you hit, like, even like midway through act two, but yeah, especially like act three and four, you're gonna have to have a mouse or you'll just die constantly.
Well, there was this one part in act one where you're supposed to be finding there's not really such a thing as spoiler with the Diablo, but you have to put the pieces to the sword together. So you're kind of going off to the look for the first piece, but there's I think it's called the decaying cave or something along the way that you can hop in. And
it's called the Herodric Cube.
Yeah, the Herodric Cube, exactly. It's called the TARDIS. And I made it through the first couple levels of this cave, and I get to the third level, or somewhere deeper than the second level. And no sooner do I step out into this level, but a massive horde of zombies just comes at me like you would not believe. There must have been about 50 of them or 60 of them on the screen. And those stupid throwing up witches were just vomiting more zombies out. They were birthing more zombies. And I died. I probably spent about 45 minutes to an hour respawning and respawning and respawning. Because as soon as I would respawn, I would get just mauled by zombies. So I was able to get like two clicks in, maybe kill one zombie at a time before I was able to get out of there. And it wasn't until I worked my way back out of that level, back to the next level up, that I was able to regroup and heal up a little bit and change some weapons around, because all my weapons and armor were destroyed, and then make my way back down and start little by little clearing it out. But it was just so satisfying to just destroy. I think my streak was like 24 or 25 zombie kills all at once, or enemy kills at once. So. Anyways, yeah, it's super addicting. I still love it. I'm having a blast with it.
I think you get into, like, I've seen my girlfriend get into mm-hmm. some sort of zen state.
Yeah, totally.
Because the controls are so simple. You're just click, 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 and just gone. So 45 minutes to an hour. And
maybe it is because of the controls, because if I play other games, we have to worry about. If this game had combos, then forget about it. I wouldn't be able to play it. But I think it's the simplicity that really really does it for me. But yeah, I love it. I'm so glad I was able to install it on my hard drive and take the DVD out, because for the first week I thought I had to leave the DVD in there to play the game. and so I just kept leaving the DVD in there. And then I realized that I didn't need the DVD in there, which instantly meant that I will be playing this in the media room at E3.
Telly, like, the more you keep talking, the more I feel like just like some kind of old wizened man who is like listening to his apprentice, like, talk to him about all these things that he's known for a million years. Yeah. She's like, ah, yes, my young son, you can actually jerk off left-handed.
You can play Diablo Stranger. Anyways,
stay a while. And
so that's Diablo. And Mr. Bachman, I know you played a little bit of Diablo as well, didn't you?
A little bit. Something like 130 hours, I think I've put into it now. It's probably only 100. I was doing my math wrong.
It's not the hours that you're putting into it. It's the angry internet hate that you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. Well, some people were a little bit upset with me about a little post that I made like a couple days after Diablo came out, where basically I said something to the effect of, I'm not going to talk about the day one server issues in my review because I don't feel like they matter. And I guess kind of my reasoning for that was that if you're reading a review of Diablo when it came out, which was about a week after the game released, you haven't already bought it. Like, that's not the person who's going to be going out and reading a review. Some people are, but they're weird and they don't matter. But the people that, you know, that haven't made the decision to buy it, they're going to go and read the review. Does it matter to them that there were day one server issues if those have cleared up?
Right.
No, it doesn't. The purpose of a review is to say, hey, you know, this game is, you know, worth checking out or it's not worth checking out. It's not to crucify a developer or publisher for past mistakes or issues that they had. And that's where I was going. But I think,
if your review was released on release day on that Tuesday, then you may have mentioned it, right?
I mean, right. And that would make sense to. I think a lot of people, a lot of it stems back to people just kind of being angry that it requires an internet connection in the first place.
Yeah.
We've talked about that and everyone's talked about that. That's been beaten into the ground so much. It's like, you know, you're on your side of the fence and you're not moving. You've decided whether or not you're going to buy the game and, you know, that's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, most people that are upset about it requiring an internet connection are going to buy the game anyway. So, you know, I feel like the whole thing's just kind of moot, but, you know, some people are still talking about it, I guess. So
reviews didn't even show up until at the end, you know, Friday or Saturday of the week, you know. There were a couple of reviews that didn't come out till midweek last week, like ours. So there's definitely people were waiting to, kind of go through the issues before they were put their reviews up.
And when you look at like the type of game that Diablo is, it's not meant for you to just play through normal and be done with it. You know, you're meant to play through and then like go into Nightmare and then go into Hell. And then go on to Inferno and level your character up to max and get like that's when you start getting the good stuff. So it's like you can't really just play through a normal and be like, okay, this is a review. You can review the story, sure, but that's not all of what Diablo is. So, you know, I that's kind of what took me so long, as I felt like, okay, I need to actually get deeper into this game before I put this thing out. Mm-hmm. So
was there really that much backlash? Because I saw, I think there are two other reviews. I know Kuchera said the same thing, where he just left out the server issues on his review because he felt it would be a non-issue later on.
Yeah, for the most part, it is. I mean, I honestly haven't ran into too many issues. There was yesterday, they took the servers down for a patch, and then they ended up being down for quite a bit longer than they intended. I think they were down till something like 6 p.m. or whatever. That was a thing. But like, aside from that, I mean, it's mostly been pretty smooth after day one. So, you know, I'm not super, super concerned about it.
Fair enough.
Yep. Mike?
Well, hold on. Go ahead. Sorry. What were you saying, Steven?
Oh, I was going to head into an entirely new topic, so
go
ahead.
Let me finish with I played some Contra 4 on the DS because I figured I would start getting through some of my backlog of DS games. I have a ton of DS RPGs, so I'll be taking those with me to E3. But I had Contra 4, which was made by WayForward. So they're like the masters of the 2D platforming games recently. And yeah, it's pretty fun. It's not a fantastic game, but they did a really good job of kind of honoring what Contra's about. Contra 4 is meant to be this anniversary anniversary game for the Contra series. So I think it's like 20th anniversary. So it's got a full fledged game Contra 4 in there, and it plays like all the classic Contras. You could probably complete it in about 20-25 minutes, which is classic NES style. But then I also include a bunch of these little challenges, something like 35 or 40 challenges or something along the way. And they even include you can unlock the original Contra and Super Contra. So, it's pretty cool. It's fun. It's simple. And it took me all of about a half hour to get through the majority of the stuff in the game. But I like it. It's just nice to get these palate cleansing games every once in a while, or just mindless shooting aliens. So
yeah, you don't get much more mindless shooting than Contra, except maybe.
Well,
Splinter Cell Conviction.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing is that the guys basically right after this game was made, they went and started working on Aliens Infestation for the DS, and you see a lot of stuff carry over from Contra into. It's like, I guess Contravania is almost like what you could call it, because it's Contra with a little bit of Castlevania and Metroidvania in there, but there's aliens, and some of the same enemies are in both games, which is kind of funny, but no, I'm always...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I saw Aliens Infestation at the Best Buy recently, and I was thinking about picking that up, but I hear it's like 45 minutes long.
Yeah, well, all those games are... All those kind of platforming games like that. And I really can't wait for Nintendo. You know, maybe that's something that we'll talk about later on if they announce a DS virtual console thing. But it would be great to get some of these games for a lot cheaper. But yeah, I agree. It's a short. Aliens Infestation was short as well. So
yeah, I'm surprised that Capcom and some of these other companies haven't approached WayForward. Capcom mostly because I want more Mega Man. And
exactly. Oh, and they would do a ton of justice to Mega Man because they get it. They get that classic feel. You know, they have a ton of games up on the 3DS eShop.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have to pick up some more of those to try them out. But yeah, you're right. That would be great for somebody to go to them and like Capcom or heck, even Nintendo to have them do a new Metroid game or something.
That would be so nice.
That would be kind of amazing, actually. That's something I never considered before, and you just got me. Now I'm listening to you, Dally.
Well, I'm done talking with my games. How about we get to since Bachman Michael Overdrive was already talking about Diablo 3. Let's talk about a couple more things you've been playing, Mr. B.
I have been playing the Gravity Rush demo. Played that today, and that was pretty good.
It's also like 5 minutes long.
it's very short. I don't know, the controls kind of bother me. I'm not want much for like the gyroscope style controls, like moving your system around to
you don't
aim
have
at
to
things
do that.
You don't have to do that. You can also use the right stick, but the whole system like just feels imprecise. Basically what it is, you play is it's almost like a beat 'em up, I guess, but it's also like you have like gravity where you can shift gravity on the fly. Like, okay, now I'm standing on the ground. I want to make that wall the ground now. And then you aim at it and you can shift gravity to where you drop down. And then you can do some weird things where like, you enter like a zero gravity state and you're just kind of floating there and you can look at something and then like hit a button to kick at it. And then you just do like this flying kick in whichever direction. It's pretty fun. Couldn't really get a good feel for it in the 5 minutes that I played it, but you know, it's right. it's interesting.
It is supposedly an open world game. And so, well, I'm sure that a lot more of that stuff will come into play later on in traversal and stuff like that, especially since I've seen there's like sliding and stuff like that. But one thing Mike pointed out is he said that there was like a flying kick and the way, but I kind of wanted to go into a bit more detail on that. The way the flying kick works is you're literally like shifting gravity into the direction that you are kicking. So rather than being a flying kick, you are literally like falling into enemies at a distance. But the certain enemies will have weak spots that you have to hit with your, you know, that otherwise they won't take damage or anything like that. But, and you can kind of redirect yourself while in the air. But I didn't have any problems with the control scheme. I thought it was nice that they allowed you to use both the accelerometer, which actually on the Vita I think is a pretty good accelerometer, and or the stick, regardless of which one you liked better.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I'm excited to see it. I hear it's a little bit like Crackdown according to Joystick, in that there are like gems hidden around the city that you have to go track down to power up your abilities, and that sounds like that really works for me.
Crackdown. Oh wow, that would yeah.
And after playing Journey, I'm really excited. And seeing the trailer for Gravity Rush at the end of the demo, and seeing that you can slide around like in Journey, I want more sliding. I want to get my slide on.
Journey. We didn't get a chance to talk. We talked a little bit about it, but I guess last week with the Sony stuff. But God, if they released everything that was on you know, the PS3, all the PSN stuff to Vita, like Journey or some of the other games. I mean, it would be freaking awesome. I mean, my Vita would become my ultimate, you know, it would replace my PS3 as my Sony gaming device if they were able to pull that off.
Well, all these announcements that they've been making recently of new games and stuff, it's been saying, like, this is coming to Vita and PS3. This is coming to Vita and PS3. So that might be happening. Like, I don't know about the games from before, like Journey, but it looks like they're kind of moving towards the idea of releasing everything on the same system. So maybe you'll get your wish.
Mr. Bachman, what else did you play?
I played Eve.
Steven sucked you in.
Oh God.
Oh, I don't know. Like I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, I was like, well, you know, watch a couple of videos. Like it popped up, it was like $6 and I was like, well, that's pretty cheap. Let me take a look at it. And I started watching some videos and seeing some like large fleet battles and hearing people talk on like TeamSpeak and stuff like that. I was just like, that's really cool. You know, not thinking about the fact that I probably won't have the patience to get that deep into the game. But I got a trial and, you know, that's what I'm working off of right now. And, you know, I've gotten a little bit through the tutorial missions, got to do some space combat and got a little bit into the marketplace and started mining a little bit. So it's, you know, I really like it. I kind of was telling Steven that the game's more of a, it's more like using an app than it is like playing a game, you know, 'cause there's spreadsheets and data and windows all over the place. And, you know, 90% of the time your ship is mostly obstructed by the windows that you're working in. And that's like, you know, that's, you know, I guess you got to be into that kind of thing. And I'm not really sure if I am yet. So there's that.
Give it some time.
Yeah. Give it a lot of time, apparently, because that's what you have to do.
That was something that, so I was playing with you a little bit earlier today. And that was something that, like, I hadn't really thought of since I started playing Eve, because I started playing Eve many years ago. But the whole premise of Eve, why Eve works and why it is popular, is because of all the insane shit that you can do. But the insane shit that you can do doesn't happen until you get through all of the understanding how everything else works, the really mundane kind of stuff. And then I think about that, and it really makes me realize that the inherent flaw with Eve Online is that you need to do that crazy, that like really kind of almost, I don't want to say monotonous, but like it is, you know, it's paying your dues beforehand, because the crazy shit later on doesn't work until you understand how that crazy shit works. So if that's what always turns people off, is that kind of stuff. And then the one thing that everybody wants to do is the insanity that comes later with the politics and the, you know, the corporations and the wars and things. But but now seeing it from your perspective, or being able to see it from your perspective, kind of for the first time in years since I started playing the game, I've kind of come to understand why people give me so much grief about Eve all the time. But at the same time, like, I hope that you stick with it long enough to understand, like, this is you just paying your dues. This is
right. And I understand that. It's a really cool universe. Like, there's no way that you can really make a world like that that's like entirely player driven and really like really as dynamic as Eve is without making it really complicated. And that's kind of the catch-22. And I mean, as if you make it complicated, you know, you're going to have a really high barrier to entry. Eve, I think, is really lucky because they've got a decent community that actually was willing to stick around. But I think most of the time when something like this comes to market that's this complicated, you know, it really has a hard time succeeding because, you know, people don't really want to spend that much time to learn how to work it. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't figure out how to work the game, then, you know, you can't get to the fun parts. So,
right. And they also had the advantage of coming out at a time when not everybody in the world was playing World of Warcraft, and, you know, not everybody expected that there would be like that the bog standard for massively multiplayer games like this would just be that really simple, really mindless, like loot grinding and level dropping and all that stuff. So that's part of why they got that community so early on, where I don't think if somebody made a game like this right now, I don't think that it would work. Like,
yeah.
And because it needs people to work, and it needs people willing to stay with it long enough. And if people can't even stick with, you know, Star Wars: The Old Republic long enough to get into that, I can't see another thing like Eve ever happening again. So it kind of makes me a little bit nervous. Like, if Eve ever goes away for whatever reason, like, I'm afraid that, like, we will never have another game of its kind ever again. And that's kind of sad in a way.
Well, I mean, I think you can have that type of game, but the expectations from the developer and publisher have to be, this is going to be a niche title. I mean, you can't commit, like, I mean, that was part of the problem with the games that are trying to launch with 38 studios. You know, you're trying to create this huge thing with 200-300 people, and so you need, you know, wow numbers for it to succeed. But, I mean, Eve was started by a smaller company, so, you know, they were good with a couple hundred thousand people. You know, they're as long as they have their happy, strong community, which they really do.
Yeah, very, very strong community. And it's getting bigger. It still gets bigger every single year. And I'm wondering, I'm really curious to see how Dust will affect the community, see if that draws in any more people. You know, if it'll just be, yeah. So, yeah.
So, Steve, what have you been playing?
A bunch of old stuff, so I probably won't get into that. We mentioned Splinter Cell Conviction. I'm going back through my backlog this week. I'm going to try and do another backlog crusade, but which is something I did over Twitter.
I'm really envious that you're actually able to go through your backlog like on a crusade in 1 week, just to knock a bunch of games out. It takes me a month to go through one backlog game, but then I've bought four more.
Yeah, I've almost beaten Splinter Cell Conviction already, and I just started playing it like late last night.
Well, Splinter Cell is like a six, 8 hour game maximum.
I need to go and finish it then.
Yep. Actually, Mike, that part that you spoiled for me happened. It's like almost at the end of the game, so you're probably pretty deep in.
Nice.
So yeah, but I will talk about something new, which is Dragon's Dogma came out. What was it? Was it last week? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, last week, yep.
So this is a Capcom's answer to the Skyrims and the Kingdoms of Amalur Reckonings out there. And a lot of people were talking about it on the interweb, so I had to go check it out and see what the Twitter sphere, what the hubbub was all about. Because the review scores didn't seem that great, but then everybody on my Twitter account was talking about it. So it seemed a little bit strange to me that I wanted to know what was going on. So, yeah. It's that and the fact that it looks a lot like Dark Souls. It's nothing like Dark Souls, by the way, but it looks a lot like Dark Souls. So it's a big open world RPG set in this universe where there's this dragon that comes around however many years. It comes out like once every generation or something, kills a dude and kills a bunch of people, but specifically in one dude it'll find and kill him and take his heart, or not kill him necessarily, because he comes back without a heart, and the dragon has eaten his heart, or his or her, because you can play as a lady as well. And it is the job of this guy who's had his heart taken, called the Arisen, to track down the dragon and try to kill him, but I guess that's not a very good job, considering this dragon's been around for thousands of years, so they suck at it. Sounded like I was kind of getting off track in that describing that plot and sounded like an idiot. It's because the plot is really dumb. Like, the story in this game is really bad. There's almost nothing to it. The characters are bland as hell. There's nothing really going on in the environment or the world. It's very strange in that respect that it feels so sterile, almost like a Monster Hunter. Like there's many parallels to be drawn between this and Monster Hunter in like there are these giant bosses that you can clamber up on top of, like Shadow of the Colossus style, and try to take them out that way. But Monster Hunter doesn't really have a story, but they kind of tried to add a story to this and just kind of fell flat on their face with this really self-serious, really old time. Everybody speaks in like old timey, sort of hybrid Middle English. And nobody ever says something or anything. They say "ought." So it's like, "There is ought there, sir," and stuff like that. But I think the best thing about Dragon's Dogma is the pawns, because they never fucking stop talking in this game. You have these NPC companions called pawns who follow you around. They don't level up with you, which is a little bit strange. So you're constantly buying more of them, kind of almost like collecting them Pokemon style, I guess. But you can also I'm trying to get through a lot of stuff here because I have to leave really soon. So I'm kind of getting off track here. But there's just so much going on in here. So somebody just ask me some questions. Great. Thanks.
What about the I hear that you can trade pawns. How does that work if you keep buying new ones?
Okay, so there's two kinds of pawns. There's main pawns and just pawns. They don't call them pawn pawns. They call them pawns. So your main pawn is like follows you out throughout the entire game, and that one does actually level up with you and stuff, and you want to add more equipment to them and whatnot. And when you go to like an inn to rest, it takes the asynchronous data from that pawn and sort of gives it out to the world. It sends out the information of your pawn, and anybody in the world can then go into this rift world thing. I can't remember what they call it exactly. They can use this rift stone to go to the pawn world to search for pawns, and you can search for your friend's pawns, or you can search for pawns of a certain level and that sort of thing, or pawns of a certain class and that sort of thing. So your main pawn will show up to everybody there at all times, regardless of whether you're using them or not. But every time you rest, it like syncs data with the server to tell it how high of a level your pawn is. And so when you go to an inn to rest, your pawn will sync that data, and then anybody in the world can then take that pawn with them, because you can have up to three pawns with you, your main pawn and two other pawns, which can be your friend's pawns and real-world pawns. And so, Mike, are you still the one sighing?
Nope.
Okay, great. So that's how that works. I'm not super far into it yet, so I can't really talk up most of it or much of it beyond the kind of more simple stuff, other than the fact that the combat is really interesting. The whole game just kind of outside of the combat, the whole game just feels very like thrown together, like almost unfinished in a lot of ways. Like the dialogue isn't very good. The voice acting's not very good. There's not really much of a story. The world isn't very fleshed out. There's nothing to do in the world. It feels like what it is, which is that it's a Japanese game trying to be like a Western RPG. In a lot of ways, it is trying to be like Skyrim, or it is like trying to be a Kingdoms of Amalur. And that's kind of interesting, just because no one else does that. Kingdoms of Amalur gave that a shot, and things didn't really work out for them in the end. There's the Skyrim guys. There's Bethesda, but nobody really does these big, massive open world RPGs where you're just wandering around this massive landscape, just kind of searching around for stuff. The problem is that in this particular example, there is no real reason for this to be an open world game, because there's not much going on in the world, and there's no fast travel, which is something that a lot of people have been talking about. Like, there's kind of these things that you can pay for that will take you around the world, because you can like constantly warp back to your like core city, capitals of the world or whatever. Grand Zeus is the name of the world that you inhabit. And then you can later on buy for like really extreme, exorbitant amounts of gold. You can buy these sort of crystals that will take you that you can like drop in a certain area, and then you can warp to that area from then on. Travels them in the traditional sense. And so it's really so on top of everything, on top of it being so boring to go around this whole world, there is really it's also really, really tedious, like very difficult to traverse the world too, because you have to literally walk to get anywhere. And that's kind of lame. And all of that being said, I still kind of like it, because that combat is really good. It's incredibly fast paced. It's kind of almost got like a job system from Final Fantasy Tactics, where you can switch your character's class kind of on the fly, not necessarily on the fly, but quite regularly and without any kind of consequence, and build up abilities that from one class, and then carry those abilities over into another class once you've built up enough points to purchase that sort of ability. So you can flesh out your character in really interesting and diverse ways, and that's kind of cool. And I hopefully the gameplay will carry me through to the end. I think it's kind of a longer game. It's 35, 40 hours, I guess. I just can't get over how dull everything about else but the combat is, and I'm hoping that I'll run into like more of the big giant monsters that you have to climb up, like I said, Shadow of the Colossus style, because that's when it really shines, because you really have an excuse to use all of these abilities that you've accumulated, you know, dashing through and using slicing up with your daggers and shooting off magic arrows that lock onto enemies and that sort of thing. So it's interesting. We'll see where it goes from now. I guess Capcom sunk a lot of money into this too, so hopefully they'll do something with it. And you can tell they sunk a lot of money into it because they have a bunch of kind of really cheap ass DLC. It's got some of that like Mass Effect style of you can purchase in-game currencies of certain kinds just with real life money, which is kind of, I don't want to say. Thanks. Okay. It's just kind of sleazy to non free to play game to have the DLC to purchase in game currency seems, especially for like a $60 game. Like Infinity Blade does that sort of thing too, but you know that's like $7. This is full $60 retail game. That's a little bit. I mean, it's Capcom being Capcom, I guess.
Cool. I mean, I've heard some buzz about it, but I didn't know much, and I don't know, maybe. Releasing another epic RPG right now isn't the best thing, especially with, I don't know. There's a lot on the horizon, and it seems like the last epic RPG, Skyrim, is still sucking up everybody's time. So,
this comes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, quick ballpark, how much would you have paid for that if you could put a price tag to it?
I mean. The game itself, the thing is, it is so big that it feels like it would be a full retail game. It just doesn't feel like a very good full retail game. It's just the DLC just feels out of place. It's not like if this was it's not like it would feel better if it was a cheaper game. It's just that it just in the kind of game that it is, it feels kind of strange to be there at all. I don't know. I don't think I'd rather have it be cheaper so much as I'd rather just have there be more stuff in the world to do. Just give me more of an excuse to travel around this world beyond just killing random monsters for really no purpose. You know, it's pretty rare that I just skip through dialogue in a game. Incredibly rare. But I found myself just skipping through what people have to say in this game because none of it really makes any difference. It's just... they're not even really saying anything of substance. It's just go do this escort quest or go do this fetch quest, and there's not even that many of those. It's strange. But I guess I don't know. Like I said, I'm not one to try and like say like, oh, video games, you know, length should make a difference as to how much a video game should cost and stuff like that, because like I said, the game is pretty long and stuff. It's just give me more stuff. I don't mind paying the $60. Just give me a better reason to do it.
Yeah.
But that's probably about it for me tonight. I had to cut this pretty short.
Well, I do want to hear one thing. Mutant Blobs Attack. You just picked that up for your Vita. What did you think?
I really like it a lot. It's got me really excited for Guacamelee, which I can't remember exactly when that's coming out. But that's another one, Dally, that'll be a PS3 and Vita game because it's a pub fun game. I don't know
if it's exclusive now to PS3 and Vita.
So. Oh, is it exclusive? Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think so. Yep.
That's cool.
Or no, or is a Snapshot exclusive to PS3 and Vita?
Snapshot is exclusive, but I think anything in
both those I think are pub fun games.
Yeah, so those are both coming over to PS Vita and PS3 as well. So
that's our good buddy Shane Bettenhausen, who's kind of heading working on a lot of that stuff. So
yeah,
he's getting some good games in there.
But cool. Mutant Blobs Attack, I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a great little game, especially for $8. I really wish it had a restart level option.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it makes it really tough to go back and get those gold medals and those extra friendly blobs. So that's kind of annoying. But beyond that, I've had a lot.
It's such a charming design game, though.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I like the art style.
Great, yep.
It kind of looks like an old one of the really shitty late new millennium, like 2004, 2005 kind of Nickelodeon cartoons, Fairly Odd Parents, but they roll with it so well, and their sense of humor about it is so like charming that like you feel like you're in on the joke. It doesn't feel like it's just cheaply made like those cartoons did. It feels like this is the natural evolution or what those people who made those cartoons were probably going for when they tried to make them. It feels like that's what this is. So
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Definitely.
Yeah, I do. So
good times, good times. Are you gonna be sticking around for the next segment of news? Or are you bailing on us?
You know what? I was actually going to jump out like 10 minutes ago. I'm probably just going to stay on for the whole episode and
All right.
do my stuff.
Yes.
I'll pay the extra fine, Dally.
Good, 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 man. So in other words, you're playing Diablo 3 along the way.
No, I'm not. I'm actually just sitting here.
Okay.
Sitting down.
Well, let's get into some news because there was a little bit of news this week. Actually, there's a lot of news this week. There's a mega load of it was a mega upload of news this week, which it's usually kind of quiet on that front right around E3, but we've had a lot of business related news and the reveals and the accidental reveals have started to come in. But we'll start the big one, which we actually mentioned it in the last episode, that we didn't think 38 Studios was going to last through the weekend. Well, lo and behold, the very next morning they laid off their entire staff. So, 38 Studios it's basically, officially done. I think it still exists as an entity, but there's nobody working there. What's kind of the shame of it all is that I guess Kingdoms of Amalur 2 was in just basic pre-production, and because of everything that went down with the with the government, and the state, and all the money things that turned away some potential publishers, so that ended up getting canceled. But pour one out for 38 Studios.
Yeah, that really bummed me out because I enjoyed Reckoning. It was a good first game. It wasn't amazing, but there was a lot they could build on it. And then, of course, they released the screenshots of Copernicus, and the art style is just amazing. But
yeah, I really dug those screenshots.
Yeah, I mean, the art on the characters and stuff, it has a lot of life to it. But sadly, that will never come to pass.
Yeah, I really liked the demo. Never got around to actually playing the game, which is probably why they went out of business, because I didn't buy it. But no? Okay.
No, it's but that's it though. It sold pretty well. Nothing that happened to 38 Studios was big, huge games or Kingdom of Amalur: Reckoning's fault. It was
right.
It was bad business decisions. It was trying to make an MMO in this day and age. It was the weirdness of how they got their funding for it. You know, it was everything but Reckoning. Reckoning was the one thing that they had going for them, actually.
Yeah, and I think they bet on Reckoning offsetting some of the cost of the MMO, but there was no way it was going to sell that much.
Especially as a new IP this late in the console life cycle. The fact that it sold as much as it did is still kind of amazing. It's a great achievement for those guys.
I just don't understand why everybody is so hell-bent on making an MMO these days.
Oh, God, right?
There's so many, and it's like and they just keep failing and failing and failing, and it's like, well, you know, maybe stop trying to do that and do something else.
In their defense, Project Copernicus has been in development for like 6 years.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I mean, when most of the MMOs started, it was like 4 or 5 years ago before they've started things like Elite or Free to Play, you know, were really mainstream. So this was how developers and publishers thought they could get a long-term revenue stream. MMO, that was it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, MMOs don't do well here in America and the West. MMOs do gangbusters overseas and like Asia especially. That's another thing to mention too, is that there are a lot of MMOs that look really good on paper until you realize that like they look good because they are made by Asian companies for Asian audiences, not because they were made for Western audiences or anything like that. That's another right. thing to remember.
Yeah, because Nexon is not in dire straits at all.
No.
Did we lose Dali?
I don't know. He just stops talking sometimes. Oh, did we actually lose him?
He's still on the call.
Hmm.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Yeah. I'm running this show now, guys. Now I can meander and talk about EVE Online in a really stilted way for the next 3 hours.
Or we could just talk about why you're so wrong about Splinter Cell Conviction.
He says he's here. He says he's talking. We can't hear him. He was cutting out for me early on in the podcast, too. So, yeah.
Yeah. Might want to drop and get back in the call.
Oh, and Steven, you are wrong about Splinter Cell Conviction.
I'm so wrong, right?
Guys.
What?
Oh, I had it muted somehow. I've been talking this entire time, and I somehow muted it.
Are you talking to us from the future?
I am. Well, I had all this great stuff to say about Kingdoms of Amalur and EVE Online and mixing two eggs in one basket. Ah, whatever.
Kingdoms sure. All of your poetic stuff was once muted.
More shakeups. THQ, Mr. Danny Bilson is out, and so is his beautiful daughter, Rachel, although she wasn't working at THQ.
Is that really Danny Bilson's daughter, Rachel Bilson?
Yeah. Yes. Danny Bilson is a movie guy. That's where he started. The old Flash TV show, he worked on that.
Yes, he did. I loved that show, by the way.
Like the Flash, like the superhero, the Flash, not Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm. No, not Flash Gordon. I have that on the Flash, the super speed one.
Hmm. I'm gonna have to look that up.
But yeah, no. Danny Bilson is a Hollywood guy that THQ just sort of scooped up
and now dropped.
Yeah.
Did they drop him or did he walk out?
No, they pretty much got rid of him.
Okay, they pulled Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they must have because he was their Core Games executive vice president, and they're moving towards Core Games. So if he's gone, yeah.
Well, there was an interesting article that came out kind of later this afternoon that he was just talking about how he was kind of bragging. I guess he was bragging about the penny jar and they're starting to see a lot of cracks in his methodologies for what he wanted to push, development-wise. And so, that people probably didn't – that wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, I think Homefront, they had to put that at somebody's feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not even Homefront, the U-Draw. Like, that was what really hurt THQ in the end.
Well, yeah, but those guys are gone. They got rid of that entire team.
Oh, did they? Mm-hmm. Okay, I hadn't heard that. I just knew that the U-Draw was a colossal flop. I think they have 1.1 million left still.
Yeah, there's still probably more than that left in their.
I think I just heard this quite recently though. They expect to sell through all of them. So
they have to.
Yeah. I've actually considered going and picking one up just as a conversation piece.
Sure. I think, their mistake, in my opinion, on the U-Draw stuff was actually giving it to the – or putting it on the Xbox and PS3 because that's totally the wrong market for that. It was kind of a nice novelty on the Wii and, just another kind of gimmick thing for the Wii. So I think it would have been best probably to stay there because that the Wii buyer is probably the kind of person that would be interested in that. And then they probably misinterpreted – how popular that was going to be and really tried to push it on the consoles and devices that don't need it.
And they just built too damn many of them. Way too many. They're going to be in a year from now, they're going to be sitting in the same landfill with the ET cartridges. Like it's that kind of, that's that sort of level of craziness.
Yeah. And like I said, I think the guy, it was Martin Good who was Bilson's version, like EVP, but for kids, he's gone. Like, I think that was like the last quarter. They were like, nah, he's gone. The team is gone. U-Draw was just a failure. They burned that entire team.
They just like disappeared it. Like, they black bagged everybody who has ever like drew concept art of the U-Draw. Anyone who ever like heard U-Draw.
Did you walk past the U-Draw this week? Yeah. You better keep walking. Well, Danny,
we're all going to wind up dead because we talked about the U-Draw on our podcast.
Yeah, they're going to send a SWAT team after us. Well, Danny's out, and is it Jeff Rubin?
Jason Rubin.
Jason Rubin. I keep wanting to say Paul Rubens. Pee Wee Herman could really be good. Oh God! So he's taking
Naughty
over.
Dog guy, right?
Yeah, he was the founder of Naughty Dog.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he
founder and created Crash Bandicoot.
Yes, he's actually been the creator of quite a few different companies, founding
that
companies.
Have all survived.
Yeah, exactly. So he definitely has knowledge, and he's been with THQ, right? He was with them for a while, I guess.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
He's like a professional entrepreneur, yeah. Basically. One of those types.
Yeah, I think you nailed Stephen. I think. He's coming in actually at the right time because there's nothing left to lose but probably but good games and good properties. Because you kind of look at what THQ has coming up. They have Darksiders 2, which is it's probably going to do pretty decent. You know, it's the first big game of the fall.
I really hope that does well. Yeah,
yeah. And the first Darksiders is great, and Darksiders 2 so far has been receiving pretty good previews. They have. WWE, which always makes them money. They have Saints Row coming out.
Saints Row entered the Dominatrix and yeah. Saints Row 4. Yeah,
and yeah. So and then in the future they got Saints Row 4, Metro Last Light,
Homefront 2 from Crytek, right?
Is that was a rumor, right? Is it? They have Insane, that game by Guillermo del Toro, which is not.
Yeah.
They have
which is never ever going to come out.
They have Patrice Desolé's game still in process in creation. So 2013 could actually be a pretty good year for THQ when you kind of look at what's coming out. And then they also have UFC, which they usually release around that time, but have a pretty decent year.
I really want them to do well because I remember them a couple years ago just knocking it out of the park with like Darksiders and the
seriously,
not Armageddon, but Guerrilla.
Yeah,
there was a time when like Guerrilla. The THQ was like the underdog among the giants. They weren't like a little tiny independent company, but they were also not really. They were kind of almost like a B tier major corporation, and then everybody was kind of rooting for them because, like, oh yeah, you guys are making all these great, great games, and we love to see them. And then they just fucking dropped like a stone.
It was U-Draw, then Homefront, then Red Faction. The hits kept on coming. I mean, it was like bad release after bad release after bad release, and that murder. And then of course all those licensed games that were doing bad. I mean, even to this day, you could still go to Target and see. I think there was a THQ branded or published 3DS game like My Pony's Babies or something that came out like last week. I'm not even joking that it is something to that extent. So they still put those games out even though they say they're not doing it. But
those things sell though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those things do sell. Yeah.
It's not even they were bad releases. Like Homefront wasn't great, but the problem is they had so much writing on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
They had so much writing on mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put so much marketing money into that game. Yeah. Like it was like more than they paid for the game or something, wasn't it? It was some crate. Like it was like $100 million or something. It was some insane amount of money.
Yeah, and Red Faction was the same way. They bet and had that sci-fi deal, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Yep. And Hulk was it Hulk Hogan's Kinect game?
Oh no!
Oh shit! They have got all about that too. Jesus Christ! But, they did make some big mistakes, didn't they?
Yeah, 2011 was not a banner year for them. But again, they you can't help but kind of pull for them because they're an underdog again. They're a much smaller publisher. I personally know people that have left THQ and Volition and some of the other development houses. So there's definitely less people floating around. Maybe it's better that they're smaller and they've cut a lot of these projects so they can really focus on what's good. I just hope they don't rush Saints Row 4 out just so they can try to capitalize on the Saints Row 3 love.
I'm hoping they killed Insane because, like, remember they announced that, like, what was, like, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And it's not coming out to, like, 2014.
No, 2013. It was a 2013 game.
Yeah.
But that's a Guillermo del Toro project, and that dude never finishes anything. Like, Hellboy 2 and, like, Pan's Labyrinth, but beyond that, he signs off on to, like, project. Like, I don't know if you guys follow him at all. He's a very cool guy, and he's made some really good stuff, but he signs on onto project after project after project after project and never finishes anything. And like, he was originally supposed to do the Hobbit movie, but then jumped off of that. He was going to do an At the Mountains of Madness based movie, which is kind of insane. Seems like it's kind of some kind of extension or some kind of mutation of that. And
he writes books, and he's been working on a bunch of different books, like, all at once.
Yeah, he's this hugely comics, popular toys, series of, like, vampire books. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I mean, you, like I said, THQ is definitely scaled back this year.
Yeah, Drop Devil's Third.
That was, I think that may have been a smart move.
That was totally a smart move.
Yeah, and so
that game's not going to do great. That's going to do Shadows of the Damned numbers.
They also were smart in they announced I think yesterday that they're not going to be putting out Metro Last Light on the Wii U, which I think is another smart move. Don't, you know, it's better right now to put your development towards consoles that have an installed base. So
yeah, that exist. Yeah,
you may not see. You'll see Darksiders 2 come out for the Wii U, but you probably won't see anything else for the Wii U from THQ. Maybe for one calendar year until they kind of get all their ducks in a row, but and start getting profitable again. But yeah, there you go, THQ. We're pulling for you guys. You're making some bad moves, but hopefully you're making some good moves. So we do have a couple really good stories that are going to make everybody who's definitely fans of handheld games and fans of blockbuster games really happy, which I think is all of us.
Weirdly balanced, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
3DS and the Vita.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and it's odd you should say that because those are the two devices that I mean, outside the Wii U, but those are the two devices that I'm really looking forward to more than anything else at E3 because there's still so much potential with both those. But Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirrors of Fate for the 3DS was revealed in Nintendo Power. And this was kind of leaked a while back, but it's been, making its way around to basically a full reveal this week in Nintendo Power. And it's a classic Castlevania game set with, I think it's Trevor Belmont from Castlevania 3. And
that's a bad one, right? Is that nobody likes?
I like Castlevania 3.
What's the one that nobody likes?
Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest. I keep hearing hate for that, but I loved that game. I don't know. I loved all the Castlevania games.
Castlevania is like Final Fantasy. Like, everyone has one that they really hate and one that they really love.
And you all better love Super Castlevania 4 because that was awesome.
I hated that. Dracula X was the
I have now officially ended the episode. No. But so they've released it's the team that created Lords of Shadow, right? That's who's actually developing Mirror of Fate for.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask why even have this Lords of Shadow name on the project, but I guess if it's being made by that team, that actually does make some sense.
So that that could be very cool. The Castlevania games on the DS were all fun. I think there was like 3 or 4 of them on the DS. And they were a blast. And there was even a copy game, I guess you could say, or a clone game on the DS the DSiWare shop of Castlevania. So that was also a fun game. It just classic Castlevania. You can't beat it. It still holds up. It's still a fun fun gaming series. And another one that I'd love to see like way forward try their hand on, but.
It's just anything with 2D animation in it. Just get way forward on the job.
One thing I will say is if any of you guys have a 3DS, grab the demo for Mutant Muds, which is a it's a 2D platforming game, but it's got 3D. It's kind of like that Paper Mario style 3D, so you're just kind of seeing 3D in layers. It's kind of 16-bit graphics or 8-bit graphics, but it's absolutely gorgeous, the multiple layer scrolling. And I'd love to see a game done like that. And I just downloaded the demo for Rayman Origins for the 3DS, and that's that same way, which is just 2D platforming with multiple scrolling layers, but in, done in 3D, just looks really good. So I'm pretty stoked. I think that's going to be you almost can't make a shitty Castlevania 2D game. Almost.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that Koji Igarashi is not involved. I'm actually wondering what in the world does Konami have him doing?
Probably working on Metal Gear Solid spinoffs.
Yeah, probably. Well, I have to take it back. There was a really bad recent 2D Castlevania game, and that was that multiplayer
Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance.
Is that what that was? Harmony of Dissonance on the XBLA and
because
PSN?
Because it was Castlevania in HD, and the letters spell HD, or the acronym is HD. Get it?
Well, they do that with the DS all the time too, the 3DS and stuff. Well, anyways,
and the 64 and the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. Quest 64. And so another game that was inadvertently revealed that we'll probably find out here in about 5 days or so is Assassin's Creed is coming to Vita. Now, we knew there was an Assassin's Creed game coming, but apparently from what these leaks are alluding to is that it's going to be a pretty full Assassin's Creed game. Now, is this Assassin's Creed 3? I don't know.
I doubt it.
But
historically, they have made the handheld Assassin's Creed games, beyond not being very good, have been like spin-offs and such. They have not like ported like Assassin's Creed 2 or anything to the PSP or anything like that. So my guess is we'll see like some kind of side story involving the main character from 3.
The rumors are supposed to be that it's 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Recon is apparently like some sort of spin-off or something like that.
I will bet you it's a side story involving the character and setting of 3, but that's where I'm putting my money down.
I'll put on that, because having seen their little video that they did before, I don't think that can be done on the Vita.
Well, you know, I think if this does end up being 3 or a damn near close version of 3, and not a spin-off game, I could see myself picking it up for this console, for this device over the others. Because of the cloud saving, the just taking it with me when I'm playing games, I would love to be able to get a real full-fledged Assassin's Creed game with me in my pocket. I think that would just be a ton of fun to have. I'm probably more stoked hearing about it for the Vita than I was for the, even though the game Assassin's Creed 3 already looks fantastic. I think this could be pretty killer.
Yeah, it would be a great proof of concept to prove, because the Vita can do graphics. We've seen it. We know that. But like, can the Vita do like an open world, like crazy sprawling environments and that sort of thing? You know, can you make a game that is not only pretty, but can you make a game that is huge? Like, big?
And this could totally fit into some of the rumors of Sony getting into. And you kind of posted on this in your What to Expect from Sony article, Stephen, which is. You know, you buy one game and you get the other one as well. So buy it for PS3, you get the Vita version. You buy it for Vita, you get the PS3 version. And it's the same game in both respects. So,
mm-hmm.
And this could also allude a little bit. Maybe it's also alluding to the rumors of Gaikai or On Live coming to the PS3, which could be a huge win for streaming game technology. So, who knows? Assassin's Creed on the Vita. I think it's cool. Good news.
Oh, no. It's great news.
Yes.
Regardless of, you know, whether it is Assassin's Creed 3 or some other version of Assassin's Creed, it's good news for the Vita, and it's good news for Assassin's Creed fans, so, yeah. I don't think anybody can be upset about this. So.
You know what's bad news is that it's your turn to talk about Eve. It's Steve's crappy Eve Online News of the Week.
Hey, everybody, this is Eve Online's News of the Week, whatever. We don't have a name for it beyond Dally's, like, passive-aggressive bullshit.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Yeah. I had two things to talk about this week. This is a real thing, by the way, listeners. Like, get ready, strap in. I'm going for the long haul. I'm going to try and bring stuff every week. First thing I was going to mention was that Mike was playing now, but Mike already talked about that. Second thing I was going to talk about was China. China got a... server up and running for EVE Online. So people who don't know about EVE Online's server structure, EVE Online is a single shard server. So every single person, you know, however 50,000 people, many people may be playing the game at any one time, are all on one server inside the same universe together. But China has some crazy restrictions on what, you know, people can be connected to through MMOs and that sort of thing. And so they have to have their own server. So there's a server just for China right now up and running, and it's going. And Mike Dow of Cast of Thrones fame told me earlier this week that so within the Chinese server, everybody has all joined up into the same corporation. So one of the big draws of EVE Online is joining these corporations and creating all this factional warfare and these plots and conspiracies and intricate politics and all these crazy things. And that's what everybody loves about EVE Online. But the Chinese have all just banded into one giant, like, homogenous team and are
kinda
just
like a catamari of players.
Exactly. Like,
and they'll probably build some amazing thing from it. I have no clue how.
They'll just turn it into Minecraft. So, like, so they will build, like, the Starship Enterprise with inside of EVE Online. I would not be surprised if they somehow figured out some way to open up some kind of portal connecting them into the true server, the Tranquility server, and just launch an invasion into into the Western server, searching for rare earths. It's just hilarious because the whole point of playing EVE Online is this one thing, and they are completely either not understanding that or not caring about it and just doing something completely different. And as Mike Dow put it, it is both entirely missing the point and yet is totally Chinese.
Is it a coincidence that EVE Online is made by CCP?
They Iceland couldn't afford the third C, so, you know, or maybe that was just a really bad disguise. But welcome to EVE China, I guess. I'd be terrified if they found some way to get into the Western server. They would be a force to be reckoned with, I'm sure. But that's what I got for my EVE news this week.
We'll eventually get into EVE. You guys suckered me into Diablo, and I'm happy enough that you did. So I think there's some little bit of holy shit, guys. Steve has the word EVE in it.
Are you saying you mean Steve Online?
I get it now. B, you are EVE Online. I think you're the physical embodiment of EVE Online.
I'm the avatar of the EVE on Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
See, up until PAX, when I still hadn't seen Steven in person, I would have been totally okay with just believing that he was a computer somewhere.
It's just like somewhere in some dusty like warehouse, you just see this lone IBM computer sitting powered down, but then suddenly the keys start tapping themselves inwards and it starts booting up Steve Online, just crawls across the screen.
The dustiest of warehouses.
The dustiest. you might say 514 pieces of dust. I don't know. Levels of dust.
I see what you did there.
I know you saw what I tried to do there. You saw nothing.
No, you accomplished it.
I don't know.
Any landing you can walk away from is a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. So you, Dell, you said you might get into EVE? Is that what you said earlier?
Maybe eventually I'll get into EVE. Yeah, we'll see.
There is a trial that you can try. That's what Mike is currently playing. There's a 21 day trial we can send you. So that
which
you
is pretty long considering you get 30 days when you play the game anyway, or when you buy the game.
Yeah, it's almost a whole month. So, you know.
So that's probably how long it'll take me to get bored of it.
Yeah, exactly. You'll stay in long enough, just long enough to get the subscription, and then just
be like, man, I only want to play this game for 51 days. Like, is there a way I can do that?
And then Steven, aka Ghost in the Shell, will come and hunt us down.
The Ghost in the Steve.
Yeah. Steve in the Shell. Well, let's move on to the final segment. So these last few episodes, we've been talking about E3. We talked, I think, the first one about what Microsoft was going to be bringing, some of the cool things they had in store, some of our theories, some of the rumors that are floating out there. Last week, we chatted about what Sony was bringing to the table with the Vita and PS3 and all those rumors and stuff. So this week we're going to cap the big three with Nintendo. There is, of course, a lot of news this year for Nintendo. Obviously, they're going to be pushing the Wii U. This is potentially the biggest E3 for them maybe in a decade, really, right? I mean, it was the last one was probably when the Wii was released, right around that time. But that may pale in comparison to this one because they really do have to get some products out there and kind of restore their sales. So there's a lot going on with Nintendo. They obviously there's also the 3DS. There's a bunch of games coming out for both, and a lot of rumors floating around. And so let's talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen. So let's start right away with the Wii U. Do you guys think that this is that what we've seen is the final hardware up to this point? I mean, obviously there were some leaked images of the supposedly updated tablet controller, but what are your guys' thoughts on this, the quote-unquote final hardware? I mean, is it it? Is it still
like a big close to release, probably. I mean, you might see some like minor design changes that they haven't revealed yet, but those are things that they've already put in place, I'm sure, and just haven't shown yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I don't think that there's going to be any like massive redesign or anything like that.
So, last year we had the actual console device was it looked like a Wii, which was just slightly rounded. I mean, do you think that's going to change at all, or is it going to?
I'd say that's pretty likely.
That it'll change?
The actual look of the console itself? Yeah, sure. I guess they probably don't want to get away from the look of the Wii because the Wii was so popular, but I think at the same time, somebody out there has to be smart enough to be saying like, look, the Wii is not going to happen a second time, not the same way that it did before. And like, even if it is super popular, it is not going to be super popular the same way that the Wii was. So they want to differentiate themselves from it enough where people can recognize that it is a new thing. But and I think that setting down to your new brand new Wii U next to your old Wii and like having them look almost identical of being of about the same size, about the same shape, the same color and all that stuff does not really create the sort of like, oh, shiny and new kind of mentality that you want when you're selling a new product like this.
But at the same time, most of the controllers that you're using are still the same and there's similarities.
I mean, do you think they're one of the rumors was that there was going to be a new wireless controller, like screenless wireless controller. I mean, do you think that's a possibility?
Well, they bought
a possibility.
Yeah,
They bought the rights to the boomerang from Sony, so that's they're just going to drop those on us.
I'm hoping they got two tablet controllers working, at least two,
four preferably.
You know what? So I did a little homework on for the Nintendo article that we did, the What to Expect from Nintendo at E3, and I started thinking about that multiple tablets. That could potentially be very taxing on a system, on a console.
Right.
So you have your if you have four tablets running at the same time, and you have an actual screen that you're outputting to, then you're essentially running five video feeds, one of which is high def, the other four which are standard def, but they're emitting wireless. So if to get that technology and that chipset in there, that would end up being so expensive to the point where it would just raise the price right out of the system. What I do see potentially happening, and I noted this. Sorry, I have to cut you off real quick, Stephen. But
that's fine.
What I said that might happen is I still see the possibility of them either having a new secondary wireless controller that's not a regular Wii remote, that's maybe just kind of the classic controller pro but wireless, or allowing you to use four of the tablets at the same time, but only letting one of them have a screen turned on. So you can still use the analog sticks. You can still use all the buttons, all the functionality. But you
That seems optimal.
But you wouldn't
ergonomic.
I agree, but at the same time, maybe it's just a way for, maybe you'd be shifting the visual to whoever needs it at that time, right? So if you're playing Madden or let's say you're playing a sports game and you need to set your lineup real quick, so it'll just shift through to whoever turn it is to set their lineup. Or if you're if you're playing that silly that Chase Me game, that demo that was last year, maybe the if you have four or five of these tablets or something, maybe only the screen that's looking down on the entire playing field is lit. Everybody else just uses regular controls.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that hardware-wise is taxing because they still have to render all of that. Yeah. But the problem is if you're going to go in marketing and say, here's the centerpiece, our tablet controller, and then people get it home and they can only use one, I think that's a customer expectation issue. They're going to have to do marketing to say, yeah, there's only one tablet controller that can be used.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which it just seems to go so – I think this is why the Wii U is partially kind of doomed to fail because mm-hmm. I don't think they've gone far enough into the direction of, you know, being a brand new system that will compete with the PS4 and the Xbox 720, whatever, or whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the iPad, called. Right?
Or, yeah. And I don't think they're competing with themselves or like bringing the same sort of experience and product that they promised with the Wii or that they succeeded so well with the Wii, which was the family experience. Like everybody huddled around like one of these controllers and everybody else gets the, you know, the player two controller. Like nobody wants to be player one, nobody wants to be player two. Everybody wants to be mm-hmm. player one kind of thing like that. Like, going so far away from that, you know, the family unity kind of concept that was behind it all along seems so bad, like such a bad idea to me. And one question I was going to ask you, are we sure that these controllers, these tablets don't have any onboard processing at all? I'm sure that would drive the price up on those, but...
Well, you know what? That hasn't been determined, hasn't been told. I would actually assume they probably do need something to be able to store just some of the bare minimal touchscreen controls and probably some RAM built into it, but
sure, memory,
but I don't know if it's going to have anything beyond that. But then again, Nintendo hasn't revealed nearly, its full hand on that.
It would just be so expensive, though. I mean, if they did, I mean, you're talking about, you know you're going to have to buy another tablet, and that you're probably looking about $100 then. I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
I'm being like, you know, kind of generous, I think.
No, looking at that tech, and here's another question. Will it end up being multi-touch? I don't think it'll be multi-touch, which is another huge failure for Nintendo. But then a capacitive screen does get fairly expensive, and they do have the factory churning out the DS and 3DS touchscreens, which is just resistive. So making a larger resistive touchscreen is easy and cost-effective for them. I could see them actually selling this touchscreen controller for between $60 and $70, which seems like a lot, but then you take a look back. Xbox controllers right now, wireless ones are between $50 and $60. The Wii remotes are $40. PS3 controllers are $50. So going
Are you talking about with or without processing power?
Well, and that's the question. If there's processing power, these could easily tip $100. And then if they do get $100, then the chances of somebody owning more than one, or maybe owning more than two of these controllers is probably pretty slim. So you may only need to output to two tablet controllers because no one's going to be able to afford any more than that.
Right.
But nobody wants to play that is the thing.
Yeah. Definitely. You're totally right.
I think you can do at least two because, I mean, the Kinect games are pretty family fun and they work fine with just usually two people, you know, maximum, I think – one of them, maybe Dance Central allowed four, mm-hmm. or no, just Dance 3. But it was kind of like half-assed.
Sure, sure.
I will say that like couch co-op is kind of, you know, is a little bit, it's kind of going by the wayside in a lot of areas. And, you know, I'm really interested to see what they do in the online space because I think, you know, having multiple Wiis, you know, everybody's got their own tablet controller and they're playing online, you avoid that problem of, you know, whether or not, you know, but whether or not you can play with multiple tablets on one system, you know, clearly that's like not been Nintendo's, you know,
right.
Nintendo's idea, you know, like with the Wii, it was all about, you know, the four players on one system and they sort of had online with some games, but, you know, that was always an afterthought. So I'm just kind of really hoping that they do something substantial online.
You know, and that's where I think I'm actually more interested in that than I am with the tablet controller because I really want to see the other aspects of this device, which is Apparently, it's 60 frames per second, and 1080p is, from what I'm hearing, it's very nearly mandatory for a lot of the games that are coming out. I guess Darksiders 2 is going to be 60 frames per second and 1080p. And I mean, you look at a lot of the games that are coming out today, even today on current generation consoles like the PS3 and 360, they're in 720p. So they're not even pushing the console graphical limits. I mean, and they still look beautiful. So I could theoretically see Nintendo saying, hey, you know, we're really gonna push high def. This is our direction. It's 1080p, and maybe it's right around 60 frames per second, and really getting some beautiful looking games, especially some of those classic Nintendo franchises, which I know Steven isn't a fan of, but I would love to see a 2D Mario not looking like New Super Mario Brothers. Wii or me or any of those games, but maybe like a hand-drawn 2D Mario game, which I think would just be fantastic. But I'd love to see some of those come into just actual a high def. You know, and there was an interesting thing. There's an article from I think it's Hironobu Sakaguchi. He was the creator of Final Fantasy, right? He was a director. Sakaguchi.
Correct.
So The Last Story is releasing in the U.S. Next month, early on next month. I think while we're at E3, actually, and or the week after that. But he just had an interview with IGN where they asked him, you know, what were some of the pitfalls of developing, a game for the Wii? Were there any pitfalls? And he said the number one thing, he kept saying it was such a shame that he could only output to standard def, because that was a huge hindrance to visually and aesthetically some of the things you could do. So just being able to go to high def and kind of living in that Nintendo world, that kind of quirky, cartoony, mascot-friendly universe that they have, just going to high def, I think, is going to be a massive step in the right direction. And then, again, to like what Mike is saying, I'm really interested to see what they do online. There's supposedly there's a social network built into this thing. There's the coins from the 3DS or whatever. Is there going to be a single login? No one knows. I think those are the two things that most interest me about the device, rather than the tablet controller. Mm-hmm. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. a lot of this is moot anyway, just because. Purely because it is Nintendo, and people will still buy Mario games.
Yeah, exactly.
And still buy Legend of Zelda, and whatever. Nintendo's not going anywhere.
No.
They're not going to be the number one. They might be the number one for at least. They'll certainly be the number one for a while, because they'll be the only one that's out. But the number one console on the market, past that first year, past that for those first 2 years, however long of a jump they have, I don't know. I just can't see it.
I don't think so, because the thing that I have yet to see from their marketing or from Miyamoto or anybody is the why.
Mm-hmm.
There's no why. And showing me that your system will have Darksiders 2 or Assassin's Creed doesn't tell me why I need to spend $300. Mm-hmm. I have systems that can play those already.
Yep. Right.
So I'm not seeing the why from Nintendo.
You can't go asking why in a businessman. You bring this whole castle down around our ears.
This is going to come off like really like fanboyish, and that's because that's what it is. But I really want to see like what can be done with Nintendo's first party titles on a system that's actually up to par with what else is out there.
Yep.
And granted, in a year or two, when the new next Xbox and PS3 is out there, it's not going to be up to par anymore. But that's fine. I don't know. I just
totally agree with you. I'd love to. I'm in that same boat. I mean, Mario Galaxy 2 was stunning. Right, mm-hmm. It was genuinely a beautiful game from depending on whatever console. But now imagine that in high def, or
right. Look at the dolphin screenshots for that.
Yeah, and so I agree with you. I mean, the first party stuff is what really kind of titillates me the most. I mean, if they launch with the rumors of, I mean, they're saying Pikmin 3 and new Super Mario Brothers, another Mario game, and on their Facebook page, they're teasing three big first-party games that are going to be launching. So you've got two of them right there.
I don't believe it. I don't believe that Nintendo will make first party games or Mario games on their on new console.
No, but what I'm saying is for them to launch with these, it has been a while since Nintendo's actually launched with the Mario game, surprisingly. And so, the DS launched with Mario 64, but it was a remake of Mario 64. So, I'd love to see Nintendo come up with an original launch Mario game, and then
Nintendo.
I know, original. and then Pikmin 3. I think Pikmin 3 on a screen like this would be great. And I mean, this kind of, you know, Mike, you're kind of right on. I mean, maybe that's the selling feature for this right now, for this first year, is just you know, you can get the same games that you can on other consoles, but you can also get Nintendo games.
Right. Yeah,
that's pretty much it right now.
Yeah.
And that's
I did read a rumor. go to Nintendo. For like Kingdom Hearts HD collection.
Yeah.
I'd definitely be down for that too.
They there was even a fake video that launched today about Final Fantasy Versus 13 being renamed to Final Fantasy 15 and launching on the PS3 and Wii U as its launches. It's floating around on YouTube. It looks pretty fake. And it probably is pretty fake, but
guess what? That's because it's fake.
But, you know, seeing that kind of stuff, I mean, some of the rumors floating out there are kind of interesting, and it's going to be really interesting to see what game-wise happens. Well, speaking of games, finally, one last question about the Wii U hardware. Wii U is going to be its final name, right? We're all pretty much in agreement that they're probably not going to change it.
Oh, God, yeah. Yes. It's gone too.
No, that's done.
Yeah, that's done. I mean, they even went so far as to release a brand spanking new high, you know, super high resolution Wii U logo, which all they did was they changed the color of the box around the U slightly, a little bit bluer rather than the aqua green from before. So, but yeah, I think we're pretty much sure that that's the name. Sorry if anybody wanted a real cool name, we're stuck with Wii U. But
what was the Revolution? That was the Wii name originally.
That was
right?
The Wii name, which everyone still to this day would love to see a console called the Revolution, which is understandable, but I don't know. It never really did anything for me.
Everybody wants to see the Katana.
The Katana. I want to see Durango and Orbis. Let's talk about some of the Wii U games that are rumored. Obviously, Mario, Nintendo has blatantly said there is a new Mario game coming out, and it's going to be based on New Super Mario Brothers Me, which we saw last year, or at least part of it. Now, one of the interesting rumors that I was, I think GameScoop this past weekend was talking about it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Weekend Confirm was talking about it. One of the rumors is that there could be a, there's actually a 3D Mario game that's coming out, like in the Galaxy vein, but then it switches to 2D and drops into the tablet controller. So you can kind of see the world in 2D on the tablet controller and in 3D on the television screen. So that could be kind of an interesting, if that rumor proves anything to be true, that could be kind of cool. But Pikmin 3 is another rumor.
First of all, that is the only thing that I'm even slightly excited about.
Well, first of all, is anybody excited about a new Mario game?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm always excited about a new Mario game against my better judgment.
Yeah, they're always good though. That's the thing is they're always really good games, but they're never super original, right? Because we've iterated on New Super Mario Brothers like four times in a row now, and we have two New Super Mario Brothers games coming out in the calendar in like a 3 month span.
Actually, right now there was I can't remember where it was, if it was an Escapist or Game Radar or something, but I just recently read an article about how Mario games are becoming like increasingly less original. If you compare old Mario games, each new Mario game reinvented itself, its art style and how it played and stuff like that. And recently they just keep rehashing things, especially like New Super Mario Brothers 2 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think that kind of distills for me why I'm not excited about a new Mario.
You know, Mario 3D Land was great. I still think Mario 3D Land is maybe my favorite Mario game of the last, like, probably since Mario 64 to come out, because I think it was original enough. Actually, the 3D puzzles worked, and surprisingly, a lot of the things worked well. But
I felt it felt way too much like Super Mario Galaxy. I thought it felt pretty much exactly like that, except not space looking.
Well, it was the same team, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the same team.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it for the fact that it was, there's a Super Mario Galaxy feel, but then they blended the 2D stuff really kind of nice. The platforming stuff a little bit easier, I think. Regardless, I think that was the best Mario. And I don't know if I could. I'll buy a new Mario Brothers game, but I'm agreeing with you here, Steven. I want to see something kind of cool and original, like Yoshi's Island compared to Super Mario World original, right? I think that's Yoshi's Island was a fantastic Super Mario game, so mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, I'll still buy it. It's going to be a seller, and we'll go from there. Steven just lost audio. He'll be back on in a second here.
They're not going to go like super crazy, like open world Mario with full co-op.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think what we could see is, we'll see. We'll find out in a couple days here. But I would like to, let's move on to Pikmin. Sorry, Steven's distracting me. I have my iPhone sitting next to my laptop, and I have my iPad is actually ringing. Because Skype is actually apparently turned on. My daughter must have turned on the Skype on the iPad. So Steven's calling my iPad on Skype.
No, I dropped the call. I lost the audio. I completely lost the call altogether, and I had to call back in.
Well, like, let's get back to we're chatting right now. Pikmin 3 is another game that has been somewhat confirmed, I guess, by Nintendo. Anybody interested in Pikmin 3?
I wouldn't have been, like, until I actually went back and played the Wii versions of Pikmin 1 and 2, which were excellent, and I was really sad that I missed out on them the first time around. Mm. But I'm definitely excited for Pikmin 3. It's kind of a neat little, like, twist on it, on the RTS genre. Mm.
Go ahead, Steve.
Pikmin is, like, pretty much one of the only, like, two Nintendo franchises I actually give two shits about, that and Metroid. So I'm super excited for Pikmin.
You know, and for those who don't know, here's a little bit of trivia. Pikmin actually evolved out of that Mario 128 demo from E3 like 12 years ago or whatever it was, right when the GameCube was being released. They showed 128 Marios on a screen at once to show the GameCube's power, and that evolved into Pikmin. So there you go.
It was also Miyamoto's gardening kick at the time, exactly. Too. The other story that gets thrown around.
I too am kind of interested. I haven't played a Pikmin game. I've just heard a lot of great things about it, so maybe this will be my first one. Who knows? Star Fox Cross Metroid. Anybody interested in a Star Fox Metroid mashup?
What? That's not a real thing, right? Like that, I thought that was just a joke.
No, that is apparently a rumor that Retro Games. So Retro Games is working on something Wii U related. Nobody knows what it is. The rumor that I think it was a couple online publications started digging up and looking into was a Star Fox Metroid mashup game where you'd have some of the flight levels from Star Fox and some of the kind of FPS levels of Metroid.
I really like Metroid, so any more Metroid past Other M, which was not great, I'm excited to see more of that. But this is not the way that I want to see that happen.
Right. You don't want him to bastardize Metroid just to jam in some Star Fox elements. And I like Star Fox and I like Metroid by themselves, but they do not combine well.
If this is true, this is the like most creatively bankrupt thing that they could possibly do with their franchises. Like, oh yeah, we made Super Smash Brothers where we crossed over all of our characters. Like, oh great, fine. But now we're just going to keep doing that like all the time now. Like, we're just going, all these characters, they just exist in the same universe as each other.
Like, hey, kids, so like Star Fox, you like Metroid. What if you put them together?
you guys like peanut butter, you like chocolate. It's like going into a Baskin Robbins. You love Oreo cookies and you love mint chocolate chip ice cream, and you're gonna get yourself some mint chocolate chip ice cream, but they hand you mint Oreo cookies and cream ice cream. It's kind of like that. You don't know what to expect. Takes you off guard, but
hey, what are you talking about?
I'm just making.
I don't know what you're talking.
Ice cream. I'm starting.
Dolly goes into a Baskin Robbins with nothing but fear.
I used to work at one for 8 years, so. I have nothing but fear and respect for Baskin Robbins. Now, that's not even a joke. I worked at Baskin Robbins for 8 years. That's why my right arm is so much wider than my left arm. That's the excuse I tell.
Right. That's
now,
why.
If they released a half, or if now if they released a Metroid, a new Metroid or a new Star Fox, then
awesome. Great.
Either one of those I think would be fantastic, or even a new F-Zero game. Any of those games, if they were announced for launch, would be, or you know, were announced for the console, I think would be huge.
A new F-Zero game, instant.
Oh, absolutely. F-Zero GX is still one of my favorite racing games.
60 frames per second, 1080p, F-Zero? Oh, God.
Yeah, they have that. It's called Wipeout. I'm sorry.
And I want to be able to take my memory card into the arcades. Because that's a good thing that works.
Grab it. Yeah, Mike just has this like huge collection of like old memory cards and VMUs that he just carries around with him at all times.
I do have a rather large extensive collection of VMUs. So,
I just picture like Mike like literally with like just 50 Diablo 1 for PS1 memory cards in his backpack, just like walking around, just like, hey guys, you want to play some Diablo? Just the original Diablo. Yeah, that like that. I was talking like baby Mike, I guess.
No, Mike, we don't want to play Diablo.
If the PS1 for a port sucks, what are you doing? You're not even thinking.
I think we lost Dolly again.
No, I'm here. I'm just listening to you guys rant.
Fuck just you, Dolly.
Anyways.
Dolly has two modes. Like Dolly has, I won't let you talk, or I'm not going to talk ever.
So yeah, F-Zero, Metroid. Dude, if there was a new Metroid Prime game, just Metroid Prime in HD would be freaking awesome.
Metroid Prime 4 would, I would lose my mind.
Well, you know, and that's where I could see the tablet controller actually being kind of cool, because you could hold it up and actually scan things in your surroundings.
Yeah, that's so much easier than just, you know, hitting the scan button.
Well, I mean, you could do this while you're playing the game and actually, you know. I don't know.
I don't think that's how that works. Like I can't look at two things at the same time. Like that's the thing that everybody keeps saying. Well, you can use this, the controller pads view thing while you play the game. It's like, well, no, I'm looking at one or the other. I'm not doing both. I'm not like, I don't have iguana eyes. I'm not just flipping between them. Like, what are you even talking about?
So yeah, Metroid will be cool. Let's see. There's the Battlefield rumors, because obviously EA was on the stood up on the Nintendo press conference last year and said, hey, we're gonna work with Nintendo, we're gonna blah 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 develop this great stuff. And then there's so that's one rumor. Grand Theft Auto 5. I don't know. I've heard that one. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Grand Theft Auto has never been out on a Nintendo console before, has it?
Chinatown.
Chinatown, and the DS, yep.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. But, I mean, and then that got ported to everything, though. So yeah, that was right, on iPad.
It was exclusive on DS first. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see it, especially if they're trying to get more core titles on the system. It seems likely to me.
I mean, it could be an interesting one. I don't know how. Yeah,
Nintendo doesn't want a binding of Isaac on the DS because of true. Religious themes. I don't know.
How about they were talking about Super Smash Brothers. You think we'll see any information on that?
What?
No,
I don't.
Smash Brothers is out.
That wasn't even under construction when they announced it, like it was just this big crazy thing. So
that's basically. Well, it's Smash Brothers and the 3DS and the Wii U that supposedly work together. So it's what's Smash Brothers cross Smash Brothers.
Yeah. although it does not seem unlikely to me that Reggie would walk out on stage and be like, "Oh yeah, you might have heard of that other crossover game," and then like show off. That just totally seems like something one of these companies.
Well,
how long ago did they
announce it? Wasn't that like a year ago?
Yeah, it was at last E3 they announced the next Smash Bros.
So you don't think there'd be any more information about it?
Well, Sakurai
wasn't
just
even
finished,
like under construction at the time.
Right, it was just all they had was a design doc, and Sakurai's team is the one that leads Smash Brothers, and they were working on Kid Icarus for the last couple of years. So I mean, Kid Icarus just came out, and
Sakurai.
They have,
Sakurai did not know that he was going to announce that there was a new game coming until he said it on stage. Well, that was the whole thing at the time. Like, Sakurai was like, what?
That happened with the last Smash, with Smash Brothers Brawl as well, when the Wii was announced. He didn't know that there was a new Smash Brothers game even coming until Miyamoto or Wada came on stage and said, hey guys, there's a new Smash Brothers game coming. And then they had to scramble and actually start working on something.
Yeah, he just said in April, I think, he had an interview, and he was like, yeah, we're changing up Smash Brothers Wii U 3DS. So I'm not sure that we're going to be seeing it anytime soon.
All we'll see is a logo. Maybe the name, that's it.
Every time anybody tells one of those stories about Sakurai not knowing that something's happening, I always just get this image in my head of Sakurai, like, standing off to the side of the E3 press conference as, like, Reggie's on saying, like, and a new Super Smash Brothers game. And Sakurai just has, like, a chicken leg, like, half bitten down into, like, a chicken leg. And he just looks up to the camera and he's like, huh? Every time, that's the image that pops into my head. Poor Sakurai.
What about a new Zelda?
Duh.
Well,
not a launch title, but
do you think we'll see something?
Oh, see it.
I don't even think we'll see anything about a new Zelda because Skyward Sword just came out.
Yeah, it just came out in like what, December? Way too early.
Yeah, November. Zelda. Yeah.
Unless it's a 3DS Zelda, that might seem possible.
I could see a 3DS Zelda.
Yeah, I definitely see them announcing a 3DS Zelda. This E3. I think they need to an original 3DS Zelda game. I mean, yeah, some folks. I would love to see Link to the Past in 3D, and same with Majora's Mask.
But
because I never played Majora's Mask, but I'd love to see a brand new, like, actual Zelda game, not Phantom Hourglass or whatever the train one was or whatever that was.
Spirit Tracks. Why are those not actual Zelda games?
Because they're not good. I don't like.
People like them, especially Spirit Tracks.
I don't know. It's just. Just way too repetitive. It didn't capture that classic Zelda.
Jelly, what's your favorite Zelda game?
Link to the Past and Minish Cap, I think, are my two favorite Zelda games.
Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening is up there too. Yeah, yeah. That kind of that Link genre is my favorite. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I was trying to maybe think of some kind of like reason, like pull out some kind of like weird, strange reasoning, but it seems to me like maybe you just don't like. What do you think of the 3D Zelda games in general? Do you just?
Oh, I do like them. I really enjoyed Twilight Princess. I enjoyed, what I've played so far.
Oh, okay. So you are the outlier. You enjoy Twilight Princess. There you go.
That's Ryan.
Problem solved.
That's Ryan Gann's favorite Zelda is Twilight.
Problem
Princess.
Solved, Ellie. What was wrong with Twilight Princess?
Nothing was wrong with Twilight Princess. Steven was wrong with Twilight Princess.
Was it the Splinter Cell conviction of Zelda games?
No, it was. It's fine. No, it's the Men in Black 2 of Zelda games. It's fine. Except it's like it's just a remake of Ocarina of Time. Like, it doesn't do anything different. Like, it's totally.
I do want Will Smith to do a accompanying rap song for Twilight Princess.
Well, I wasn't meant to say this this soon, but I think now that we've gotten this far, I can probably say it. Now that they're going to HD, they're finally going to have Link talk, and Will Smith will be doing his voice.
No. It's a game, so it'll be Nolan North.
Welcome to Hyrule. That was more a Tracy Morgan or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, that was Tracy Morgan impersonating Will Smith on 30 Rock
as Link.
Yeah, wearing a green tunic and everything. Yeah. I always wanted to see Will Smith cameo in a Mortal Kombat game because I always wanted to hear somebody. Because I know they would eventually do it. I always wanted to hear him say, "Welcome to Earthrealm."
All right, let's move on to some of the three. Anything else on the Wii U? Any other third party games or Wii U games that you guys would like to see?
This has nothing to do with that. What you just asked, but I'm curious now. Like, what's everybody's favorite Zelda game?
I already said Link's Awakening.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were saying what your favorite was or.
Link's Awakening or possibly Ocarina of Time.
Okay. Mike Bachman, what's yours?
It either have to be Link to the Past or Twilight Princess, actually.
And mine's probably Link to the Past or Ocarina. I'd say.
Oh, really? Okay. Mine is Oracle of Ages, so.
You did like, or I have I had Seasons. I haven't played Ages yet. Hopefully they'll release that game on the virtual console.
That'd be great. Yeah, those two, they connect to each other and everything, you know. Like,
yeah, remember they were going to be part of a trilogy of Oracle games that Capcom was making. And then the first two, they were having issues making the third one. So the third one ended up being Minish Cap. But it was it wasn't, they ended up just kind of scrapping the third concept and going all the way to
Seasons is like really action focused, and Oracle of Ages is really puzzle focused. Oracle of Ages is also like crazy hard. It's like the most difficult of the Zelda games. So I don't know. Yeah, if it ever does come out on virtual console, you should check.
It was Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons, and Oracle of Baseball Stars. I think was gonna be the third one. So
Oracle of Mario Tennis.
Oracle of Mario Tennis. Anything else Wii U wise that we wanted to cover before we move on to some other quick 3DS stuff? All right.
I could not care less about the Wii U, really. Okay, I don't mean to be that, but you know, but the 3DS, I'm kind of interested, I guess.
You know, I think to kind of put a cap on it, I'm interested to see what Nintendo does with it. I'm not personally super excited I'm not super excited for the Wii U, but on that point, I'm so ready to retire my Wii. You can't believe I want to throw that as far as I can across my room, because that every one of my consoles has failed in some respect or another. So,
oh really?
Oh yeah, like, every single one is
broke down.
Well, the PS3 doesn't no longer reads Blu-ray movies. I'm on 360 number 6, and that's starting to overheat and die. And then my Wii U wiped out all my new Super Mario Brothers info because of a memory glitch. So
I knew about the PS3 and the 360, but not about the Wii.
Oh yeah, my Wii failed, so I had to go back and replay all of New Super Mario Brothers, which wasn't a horrible thing, but I had already opened up a lot of the secrets. And anyway, so I'm just ready to move on to some high def Nintendo games. That's all I really want to see. I just want to see some high def Nintendo games. I mean, I'm totally happy with that as being the only reason that I pick up a Wii U this year. It's just give me some modern Nintendo stuff.
And that's what I think is wrong with modern Nintendo fans, is I just think you're too easy to please.
Well, considering what we're getting out of Microsoft for the next round and Sony, I mean, it's no longer cool new hardware anymore, right? I mean, it's just games, right?
Maybe.
How
I guess
much more high def can you get? I don't know.
I guess we don't know anything about the 360 or the new PS3 or whatever. They're, you know, the new PS PlayStation or the new Xbox. So like we can't say that it's not about, you know, my guess is that we'll see a lot of more things like, you know, volumetric thing, you know, really internal stuff that we people probably won't even notice off the bat, but like a lot of volumetric objects and larger draw distances and less clipping and stuff like that. I'm sorry, that's kind of a tangent, but yeah, I think that's what we'll eventually see. And I don't think the Wii provides that either.
No.
Like, I don't. We'll see. We'll see.
But
what happens.
I mean, you know, to Nintendo's and Mike, this is where you probably have a little bit more knowledge than us because of the work you've done already, but. I mean, you look at like sales wise and what Nintendo is really trying to pull. They know that they're not going to be a long term device anymore. I mean, you look at the sales numbers for the Wii and it was skyrocketing up, and now it's dropped off a cliff. So I think Nintendo finally starts to understand that, hey, maybe they're not. Maybe it's better to just kind of front load, make enough money ahead of time, and make produce an affordable console that people will pick up, and then. You know, using modern tech, and then dump it when the next tech gets cheaper. I don't know.
You don't think that like they'll maybe have learned otherwise, like try to focus on longevity or anything?
I don't think you need to focus on longevity anymore in consoles, because there's so much turnover. You're no longer going to see 10-year cycles on consoles. You'll probably see the next PS3 pretty soon. This is the last of these consoles you're going to see before things start turning over regularly.
Yeah, and I think that's Apple's fault.
Yeah,
like
totally
they've shown that people will pay every year $599 for a new iPad.
Yep.
So they're like, their thoughts now business-wise are like, what are we doing wrong
yeah.
to not get that?
Yep.
So it just seems I don't see how you can be a Nintendo fan and like think to yourself like, or how you can be a Nintendo fan and think, oh yeah, Nintendo is it's gonna do great. They're just gonna make these really cheap consoles that don't do anything I like, and then after that, I'll buy another one.
But,
like,
so,
what,
it's the definition of insanity, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but then again, you're jumping into they don't do anything I like. So you don't like high def graphics, or what you like right now is Unreal Engine 4, because the 360 and the PS3 don't deliver that explosive next gen graphics. That's at least two years away, right? At least a year and a half, 2 years away. So you're not going to get anything. So you kind of come at it as if it's not doing anything I want yet. I'm totally happy with what I have right now with my Xbox and my PS3. The Wii U I know it's finally matching up to the Xbox and PS3 in terms of power, but you also finally get those Nintendo games good that are going to be good. So.
I'm saying that's fine now.
Right.
But
yes.
is that fine in a year? Is that fine in 2 years?
No, that is very true. And I think in 2 years, if there's nothing mind blowing about this Wii U that comes out, then I definitely see 2 years being, you know, very different when the PS4 and the Xbox 720 come out. So, but I think these next couple of years are Nintendo's to lose. I mean, they can come out with a new console with first party franchises, potentially the best version out of all the third party games that are released on it. Just having a second, having added functionality that you can't do with others, and who knows?
Added functionality does not necessarily mean better functionality.
No, I'm saying,
misleading
exactly,
is what I'm getting at.
Exactly. Let's move on to the 3DS. We'll cover that a little bit right now because it is the late hour. So the 3DS had a horrible start, and the Vita is repeating the 3DS start, and now actually even worse.
Worse, way worse.
Yeah, I think the Vita sold like 5,000 units this week, and the 3DS sold 55,000 in Japan, which is just it's obnoxious. But the 3DS recovered with a price drop in August, and then
and a Zelda game. Basically.
The Zelda game did all right. It is a million seller, but it's an old Zelda game, and then it was an old Star Fox game.
It was Mario Kart and Mario. Yeah.
Exactly. Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart, and that have completely changed. And in Japan, Monster Hunter 3. Those three games in Japan completely changed the landscape of gaming over there, because now the 3DS has been the top seller in Japan every year, and it's every month, every week, and then it's slowly crept up the charts and done okay here in the US. Obviously, it's not to the level of the Xbox 360, which is also heading, you know, it's also kind of peaking as well. But 3DS is definitely showing life in the US, and so. There were a lot of rumors for a 3DS Lite. We're going to get a 3DS with a second stick. After seeing the popularity of the 3DS now and the price cut, I don't think you're going to see a 3DS Lite this E3. I don't think you'll see it probably till next E3 or an event after Christmas. I don't think they need one, first and foremost, because the price is right, and hopefully they'll announce some good games.
No, Nintendo will ride it out. They have no reason to introduce a new model. Even if the second stick is a problem at this point, I think they believe they have enough momentum that mm-hmm. developers will develop for them instead of trying to worry about a second stick.
If mm-hmm. the second stick was really a problem, they wouldn't have made the attachment to GameStop exclusive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I could definitely see them, though, saying, hey, by the way, that second stick, the CirclePad Pro is going to be available now in all major retailers, so you can pick it up. And maybe it might even be bundled with first-party games, you know, second half of this year. That way they get it in as many hands as possible. Kind of like what they did with the Motion Plus when they were bundling that with everything in the Wii. So,
right. The thing is, like, I mean, if they do something like that, at some point, it's going to – I mean, if they put that much effort into it, at some point it's going to end up being included in a redesign, because what's more expensive,
yeah,
including a CirclePad Pro with, you know, with every copy of, you know, each first-party game you want to put out, or just having a redesign of the system that mm-hmm. requires it, mm-hmm. you know, so.
I think at that point they'll probably redesign the system
So I right. mean, that's probably more for next E3, the 3DS redesign. But we'll see. But yeah, I don't think anybody is thinking that there's gonna be a 3DS redesign. But the 3DS games, I think, are what are really important right now. Sony's coming out big time with the Vita next week and really showing support for it. So Nintendo needs to do something with the 3DS. Is a new Paper Mario, a new Animal Crossing, and Luigi's Mansion, and a new Super Mario Brothers 2 enough in the fall, or do they need more than that?
They need to capitalize the N on new Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. Now there are a ton of fans.
Nope, that's not what I meant. But okay.
No, Animal Crossing did great on the DS, and that's still being played by a lot of people online. So Animal Crossing will be fine, and probably new Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, and they got Monster Hunter. What they really needed to do was get Pokemon Company to put Black and White 2 on 3DS, and then get Square Enix to throw some Dragon Quest something there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Square's got July basically dedicated to them. I think they just pushed back the release of Heroes of Ruin into July, so now they have 4 games coming out on the DS in July. Steven, basically everything you and I saw at the Square Enix booth at PAX, Steven, on the 3DS is showing up all in 1 month in July. So,
is Hitman coming in July?
No, unfortunately. I meant for 3DS. I think Hitman comes out in October?
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to say this. If Heroes of Ruin gets pushed back again and again and again and just doesn't come out, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I didn't have game. A great time with Heroes of Ruin. Either.
What the fact that that's even a game that they are like the fact that it almost seemed I really don't want to be mean, but I'm going to be the fact that they even thought that warranted like mentioning that game was being pushed back, like that they thought that anybody would care or that it mattered is kind of impressive to me, or maybe optimistic. That game is not great. Like, what is that? Looks like it looks like an iPhone game. Like, seriously, what's up with that?
I don't know. It's like it's a multiplayer Diablo Lite for the 3DS, but not nearly as good. You can't click.
Yeah.
Mike, you mentioned they need a Dragon Quest game, and Dragon Quest is what Dragon Quest 10 is coming out for the Wii this year. But I'm concerned that there's not enough third-party stuff showing up for the 3DS, because it seems like third-party developers are kind of abandoning these handhelds and going to like iOS devices and sticking to consoles. I mean, apart from the Vita, but it may be just because the Vita is easier to develop because it's so close to the PS3. But even that, who knows how many third-party games we'll see come out for that, besides Assassin's Creed, of course.
Right, and actually, supposedly, the Vita is really easy to develop for, is what I've heard, too.
Yeah,
so.
Because I just said that.
Well, no, you said it's... No, I mean, like even more no, so right, than the right, PS3. Yeah, the quote I heard, I mean, and this is entirely arbitrary, but the quote I heard was that it was about 4 times easier to develop for than the PS3, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And which is probably very, very intentional on Sony's part, because that was one of the things that killed the PS3 a little bit, is that some people complaining that it was really hard to develop for, other people complaining that it wasn't, other people saying that it wasn't hard to develop for, but yeah. I don't know, third-party games just don't feel very Nintendo to me. Do they to you, I guess?
I agree with you. They don't. I don't know what you could do, I mean, besides the Square Enix stuff, but Resident Evil Revelations was cool, but I don't see anything else that really screams, I want to get a third-party game on a 3DS over a console, you know?
Right, or over a Vita. Like, mm-hmm. If you're going to go for a third-party game, because I will bet you that third-party games are probably going to be closer parity to the...
console version?
To the console version with the Vita with the 3DS. What I can kind of see coming down the line eventually is that you'll see
more games, more completely on par games with the Vita and to the PS3 and 360. Just games that are just like, you know, you will see like Assassin's Creed 3, you know, not necessarily that game, but you'll just see that something like that on the Vita. Whereas if you go to the 3DS, what you'll see is like, here's Assassin's Creed, you know, Ascension or yeah, whatever, the, yeah. Some yeah. kind of 2D knockoff kind of mm-hmm. thing is what you'll eventually run into.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know. I mean, there was gonna be a Saints Row game that they canceled. There was gonna be a bunch of games that at the same point there have been a bunch of games that have shifted from Vita development to 3DS development considerably. Or what? There's actually a PS3 3DS game coming out next year that was announced recently. So
yeah,
it's very strange.
It wasn't selling. You know.
I think the concern isn't in Japan. The concern is definitely here in the U.S. Japan's going to be getting their Monster Hunters, their JRPGs, their Love Plus games, their Harvest Moons, but I don't think those probably ignite a fire under people for
the 3DS. I mean, yeah, certainly not Monster Hunter. Like that sells gangbusters in Japan, but mm-hmm. barely moves units here. Which actually, kind of another tangent here. I'm actually really thinking about trying a Monster Hunter game eventually, or pretty soon here. I almost bought one on PSN the other.
I got. I have a Monster Hunter Tri for the Wii, and I played it for about 2 or 3 weeks and really enjoyed it. But then nobody else was playing it, and so it was difficult to find friends that would hop online at the same time I would to.
Yeah, weren't we supposed to have like weren't we supposed to play that? I think when I picked it up, and then
it I think just it was you and through. I and Jesse Gregory. We're all gonna play that, and then that just kind of died.
Wah wah.
So anything? Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Mine was more Monster Hunter stuff, but that's totally pointless right now.
So I mean, I think outside of first party stuff, nothing really excites me about the 3DS. The downloadable stuff could be cool, and some of the other social functions. That they're working on, supposedly, or that we hope they're working on could be kind of cool. I mean, the Nintendo Zone stuff is actually kind of interesting. Going to, you know, we were at Barnes & Noble the other day. My daughter was looking at some of the kids' books there, and my wife was walking around with her, and I just kind of plopped on the couches and flipped open my 3DS and saw some cool 3D videos of sports and stuff. So it's actually kind of cool little stuff. And the Street Pass stuff is fun, but
My thing with the 3DS basically right now is that there is plenty of stuff I would love to see on 3DS, but nothing that they have announced.
Right, I agree.
Like a 2D Metroid game done in the style of like Metroid Fusion or something like that. That'd be fantastic, but they're just sitting on their hands with that. At least so far.
That's where the 3DS I think can sell really well. I don't want to see console quality games in the 3DS. On the Vita, I could see that. I could see myself, but not on the 3DS. The 3DS, give me the 2D platforming games with some 3D elements, or give me some quicker games. I don't want a 30-hour, 40-hour game on the 3DS. I just don't. I have that for my console. I'd like to see if I'm going to be staring at something for that long, it's got to be on a big screen so I don't kill my eyes. So
right. And the 3DS is just it's the 3D that it does, like not the 3D like of the 3DS, but like the 3D as in like 3D graphics.
Right.
It's not going to be on par with anything. It's trying, but it's
It's going to be on par with the Wii, because that's essentially all it is.
there you go. And it's just I don't even want to see them try to do that. I just want to see them do like really detailed, really beautiful 2D art. That's where I want this to go.
Grab the Rayman, the Rayman Origins demo, because you get that beautiful 3D 2D art, which the hand drawn.
Yeah, like the Epic Mickey. I really want
the Epic Mickey. That looks really cool. So actually, there are a couple games right there that could be fairly interesting on the 3DS.
Like a 2D traditional like 2D Zelda. Yeah. Like when was the last time they did one of those? Yeah. Like I would love to see one of those.
If that's what the 3DS ends up being, where it's just kind of taking the retro classic or the classic design games and that mentality, that could be kind of fun.
Yeah, if it becomes like a super Nintendo in my pocket, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd be in love with that idea, but that's not what they're doing.
Super Nintendo actually sounds like a really cool console name.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on to the Wii, and we'll kind of close out the Nintendo talk here. There's not a lot coming for the Wii this year. It's pretty much dead. Dragon Quest X is
the last story, yeah. I guess.
The last story and Pandora's Tower will probably be announced here soon. So I think a Wii price cut to $99 is probably inevitable here at E3. If anything,
it seems a little bit early, but especially when you compare it to the PS2.
Well, is it early? I mean, if what you're trying to do is get people warmed up, people who haven't bought a Nintendo game or haven't bought a Wii, which there are supposedly people out there, you can actually move a lot of Wii remotes by buying the Wii hardware. But you can get people into that. In that mindset of Nintendo, and they'll be able to pick up some of the, you know,
I guess, but then you have people like walking into a store being like, man, I can't wait to buy this Wii so that I can get hyped for the Wii U. Wait, why am I buying a Wii and Wii games if a Wii U is just coming? Why wouldn't I just wait and put that $99 towards Wii U, you know?
But then again, that $99 price, I mean, that $99 price is really good.
It looks great on a shelf, I'll tell you that.
It looks great on a shelf, and it's more so right now than a $150 Wii box, which is just sitting there. Yeah, I know you included Mario, but it just sits there at Best Buy staring at me with the sad puppy dog eyes. But $99, and then all of a sudden I have my console to take up to my cottage up north, you know?
Yeah, if they do $99 like now, mm-hmm. you got a couple months.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like 6 months, and then holiday comes, you got your Wii U. That's doable.
Yeah. I can see that as an opportunity. And for those people that maybe aren't ready to move up to the Wii U just yet, maybe they are holding off for the next Xbox, the next PS4 or something. Maybe that $99 Wii could be a little stepping stone to hold them off. So who knows? I mean, maybe it's now's the right time. Just get clear that stock, get everybody hyped up about the Wii U. Just clear out that Wii.
I really feel like the Wii would be a lot stronger right now if they had shot themselves in the foot with their downloadable content scheme, like the downloadable content, not just like expansions for existing games, mm-hmm. but for just downloadable games on the Wii is fucking awful. And
the way Nintendo set up that infrastructure is just a payment infrastructure is bad.
Mm-hmm. And you're kind of seeing that kind of scene in the waning days of the PS3 and the 360 explode on the 360 and PS3. Like you look at something like Fez on the 360, or like Minecraft on 360, or like Journey or Closure on PS3. And it's just they're having these like these classics, these games that we'll be talking about 10 years from now. And the Wii is just, you know, we've got Xenoblade Chronicles, and that's great. But like none of these experimental $15, $10 games can exist on that platform because it's a fucking death trap. So,
you know,
like,
it looks like they finally realized that with the 3DS, because there's actually some really interesting 3DS downloadable games, and that, to tell you the truth, that's all I've been getting on my 3DS lately is just these downloadable games, because they're really good. The quality is really good on these games. So
yeah, and that's helped a lot by the fact that you can just buy like any old SD card, a camera SD card, and pop that in there, and you have all the space you could ever want. And that is a genius move on their part, and a big problem with the Sony with Vita.
And at the same time, Nintendo's also, I mean, they flat out said, hey, from here on out, first party games are all going to be downloadable on the 3DS, which is a pretty huge step. What they mean by that is new Super Mario Brothers 2 is coming out in August. You'll be able to go to the store and buy a hard copy or just download it.
Yep. That's a good idea too.
Which is really shows a lot of faith in their, because that game is probably 500, 600 megs, maybe up to a gig in size. So if you're going to be taxing your system that much, maybe your network, maybe Nintendo is starting to get something in the positive direction there. So
yeah, the Vita does the same thing. So
yeah,
you know,
it's great. It's fantastic. I mean, that's definitely Sony starting to do that with the PS3 as well. So
you're actually seeing a lot of like, even third-party games on the PS3. Like Prototype 2 just came out on the PS3 like weeks ago, and you know, stuff like that. That's great.
It's going to be on sale. It actually is on sale, and supposedly if there's this PlayStation Plus relaunch, we'll be getting.
They've already. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, they said that there's the rumors that there'll be a new PlayStation Plus update for the Vita and for PS3 that will
not only get, because right now you can get some of the independent games and some of the PSN downloadables free for a month, but you'll be getting full games with
full like AAA releases.
Yeah, AAA stuff. Releases. Yeah, so you'll get
just
like
for, just for free. Yeah.
Yeah, just for PS3 and for Vita. So.
Yeah, that sounds great. PlayStation Plus is like a great value. I love PlayStation Plus. And they just actually did expand it with this thing called Ultimate Collection. So now they just released like a whole bunch of downloadable games, like AAA titles on PS3 that come with all of their downloadable content for like $20. And that's fucking great. That is fantastic. That is exactly what they should have done. And it's the one kind of area where I think they have a leg up over, or not the one, but it is one of the main areas where I think they have a leg up over like the 360, because like you look at Xbox On Demand and you see games for like $60 when you can walk into a GameStop and get it new for 40, you know, or something like that. And that's somewhere, a place where Microsoft really needs to kick things into gear. But sorry, that's another tangent. But
well, how about we kick one more thing into gear, and that's all our asses off of this podcast, because we have rambled for about an hour about Nintendo right now. So
yeah,
and all of us are either falling asleep or already asleep.
Bakken. What are you guys still recording?
And so and I've got
yes, Mike.
I've got about 4 hours.
You were on the air the whole time. All of America is listening to you breathe.
Oh wow. He was snoring at one point, actually. With Mike. That said, Mr. Williams, it's been... what? All right.
Uh-huh.
All right, Mike, it's been fantastic having you on the episode again. Thank you for rejoining us.
Oh, excellent. I enjoy podcasting.
Excellent, excellent. And we will definitely have you on again in the future. Mr. Bachman, thank you so much for joining us as usual.
No problem. All the time.
And Steven is, his line dropped, and so he is cannot make his way back on because he's stupid. But Steven, if you're listening to this, thank you again for joining us as usual. Oh, there he is. All right, he's back.
Okay, call dropped again.
Yeah. So where can we find you guys? Mike, Mr. Williams, where can we get you?
On Twitter at Automatic Zen.
And Mr. Bachman?
Also on Twitter at the Mike Bachman.
Mr. Strum?
I am Steven Strum at Steven Strum, STEVENSTROM.
And I am Mr. Domofsky, which is at Cool Rats, but I might be changing my Twitter handle, which is a huge step for me, so we'll see if
that actually
happens. Yes.
Exciting.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, breaking news.
Just a quick, almost personal note here. I'm kind of trying to lean more heavily into the whole senior features editor role here at SideQuest and whatnot.
Yes. So
anybody out there who wants to get a hold of me on Twitter, like, please give me feedback about the site and about this podcast, especially. Like,
not only
I'm trying to sound.
Yeah, not only feedback, but pitches as well.
Yep, pitches, anything like that. But like, if you have any ideas, go ahead and send them my way. You can send them to me at steven@sidequesting.com. But yeah, any feedback about the podcast or the website? I'm trying to sound smarter when I talk about games on a stupid show. But I did not do a good job tonight. But let me know what you'd like to hear us talk about, what you like about the podcast, what you don't, what you like about our features, what you don't. That sort of thing. And if you have any ideas for featured articles, drop me a line, and I will take a look at them.
And with that, the wonderful NBA lottery has concluded. We have selected you, the listener, as our number one pick. That was horrible. I'm going to stop.
Stop it, Nelly. Make
goodbye.
It stop.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you probably from E3 next week. We'll do at least one live podcast or one podcast from the show.
Oh, dear God. Yes. Hopefully not at night, because then we'll all be drunk.
That's why I'm going to have both mics with me, getting completely blasted, probably coming back from the Frag Dolls party. By the way, if you're listening to this and you're going to E3, check out our giant list of parties. There, I'm not joking when I say this. There's probably about 4 or 5 parties being added every day. The list keeps growing. We have a lot of people sending us stuff. So, feel free to throw that our way. So, it's good stuff. That's it.
Great.
See you guys at E3. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.